93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. 93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news updates with Kathy Romano.
Today is Thursday, March 15th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, Toys R Us, the toy superstore chain that became a dream factory for kids nationwide, said in a U.S. bankruptcy court filing early Thursday that it must liquidate, a move that will likely lead to the closure of all of its stores and the sale of the remaining merchandise.
It's sad.
It is sad. I was bummed.
I mean, this is the end of the big chain toy stores.
Yep.
That's it.
Yeah, I you know, Preston, when I first started doing, joined you guys at Y100 over in media, I would go to the Granite Run Mall to kill time, you know, because I was living in a Russian efficiency apartment there in media, away from my wife. And I'd go over to Toys R Us, and I'd pretend I had a son I was buying toys for, but it was for me.
Yep.
So a lot of fun. I mean, just to see kids in Toys R Us is such a wonderful thing.
Online shopping has killed it.
It has. Yeah,
it has absolutely killed that. That's gone now.
Yep. Yeah. I don't want to grow up. I'm a Toys R Us kid.
You know the rest of the lyrics? No one does, do they?
I
like to eat squid.
I like to eat squid, yeah.
Yes.
The company's main lenders have determined that the best way to maximize their recoveries is to liquidate the existing inventory in all 735 remaining U.S. stores and begin an orderly wind down of the U.S. operations.
How are they going to go about liquidating it?
Because
I have a big trunk.
I know. Well, immediately I was like, okay, we got to go to Toys R Us.
Well, they do have an online component.
Well, you know what, though? They're online. So, Preston mentioned, you know, online shopping, killing it. And I do a lot of online shopping, but I notice myself buying toys at places like Target and Walmart and places like that. They're online. They used to have an app that was great, and a few years ago, it went away.
Toys R Us,
yes. And then and they do still have an online component to it, but this past holiday season, I found it to be, there was, like, no deals. It was just kind of blah.
Okay.
And I don't know if they had changed it or...
Maybe they were trying to, like, border collie you into the store.
I don't know. I don't know what it was.
So when I was a kid, we had Kitty City. And, well, you had probably a different Kitty City where you
K-O-P.
Were. K.O.P. Yeah, so yeah. Our Kitty City was in Springfield.
Purple Orchid,
when I got a little bit older. The Toys R Us that you talked about
by
the Grand Ramon, but also KB Toy Stores. And those are the toy stores that were in the malls. And those aren't around anymore
either,
right?
They're gone. They've been gone for a while.
What are those? But there are, like, random toy stores in a mall. Like, I was just at the Willow Grove Mall, and there was some, like, little tiny
They're few and far between.
Yeah. So Toys R Us had initially hoped to be able to keep 400 stores open, according to the court filing, but realized it didn't have enough cash to preserve that many. Projected cash burn, according to the motion, was $50 to $100 million a month without even investing in any of the planned improvements to stores. Toys R Us is projected to run out of cash in the United States in May of 2018.
Yet a lot of their overseas stuff does very well, right?
Well, but they're still selling that.
Oh.
The chain based in Wayne, New Jersey, said it had enough money left to pay its 33,000 workers for no fewer than 60 days. So really, they're only getting 2 months notice.
I mean, honest to God, what can any of these brick and mortar stores do to compete with the Internet?
Well, that's the big question.
Sell things cheaper? I mean.
Well, there's also things that selling cheaper and then also making an experiential thing.
Right.
You know.
Partnering with the Internet. Right. I mean, making it as seamless as possible to buy something online and then go and get it at the store or have the store deliver it to you.
And look at this, too. Amazon has invested in brick and mortar stores.
Mm-hmm.
So Amazon, now the new thing is you go in, the store will identify you. There are no clerks or anything.
Right.
You go in, you grab what you want, and as you're leaving, it charges your account.
Right. I mean, because, listen, if this is the trend and this is the way things are going, then it's the way things are going. But, I mean, they're about to build a brand new shopping center right next to, like, Cardinal O'Hara High School. They're going to knock down all these woods. And I'm like, why would you even think about building a shopping center that big if this is the way it's going?
Well, KOP is certainly doing well, and you make the shopping thing an event as well.
Yeah.
Well, and you know what I find with Toys R Us too, and they don't really have if they have a coupon, and I know not all stores do this, but if they have a coupon, it excludes almost everything in the store. Like, you can only buy just a few things. Whereas if you get a coupon for another store, you go in, you get, like, just say Bed Bath & Beyond. You're getting, you're going in, whatever you buy, you're getting 20% off. Like, they have nothing
it's
that...
It's like, you can't buy video games with this.
It's a ton of stuff that you can't buy. It's not just electronics and video games. But they don't have anything that draws you to the store, except for, yes, the toys that are all at full price that you might be able to get discounted on Amazon or you know, somewhere like Target.
Do you know something about Bed Bath & Beyond? Even if you don't have a coupon, whenever I get it to the register, she pulls open the thing, takes out a coupon, and swipes it anyway. And, there you go. All right.
So it said in the filing that it still hoped that 200 stores in the United States could be preserved in combination with its Canadian stores. It said it is seeking a buyer for the Canadian operation. The move came after Toys R Us told employees Wednesday that it is planning to sell or close all of the U.S. stores ahead of the court hearing, which was scheduled or is scheduled for this afternoon. It filed for bankruptcy reorganization late last year, but poor holiday sales and continued heavy debt forced its latest move.
Isn't it funny with all the stuff going on in the news? This is the biggest sucker punch.
We're like,
Toys
oh my God.
What?
So sad. CEO Dave Brandon told employees in a conference call, "I am devastated that we have reached this point. While U.S. operations are subject to likely liquidation," Brandon said, "the Canadian, Central Europe, and Asian divisions would be sold. If a buyer offers more than the liquidation value, that could be a sale." Mm. A grandfather is fighting for his life after being ambushed in his home and shot multiple times in West Philadelphia, according to police. Police say the 56-year-old victim had just returned home in the 700 block of Cecil Street around 11 o'clock Wednesday night after a night of bowling. They said as soon as he sat down, settled into his home, somebody fired three shots in the front window. The grandfather was hit in the face and neck and fell to the floor. His wife and a young grandchild were on the second floor of the home at the time. Authorities say that they are very lucky that they weren't harmed. The victim was taken to Penn Presbyterian Medical Center in critical condition, but was later listed in stable condition. Detectives at the scene say the evidence seems to indicate that this was not a random shooting. Philadelphia Police Inspector Scott Small says because there were three strike marks to the living room window and nowhere else leads them to believe that the shooter was intentionally firing the shot into that house. Small said preliminary information shows that the suspect was a male in a dark colored vehicle, possibly a black truck, that was seen going south on Cecil. He said that there may be more than one suspect. Investigators have found several surveillance cameras, fortunately, at homes in the area, and they're hoping that that provides them with some more information. At this time, there's no motive. Philadelphia police have also identified a suspect in a sexual assault of a teenage girl who has been reported missing. Authorities are looking for 42-year-old Pedro Velasquez, who was his last known address was in the 700 block of Allegheny Ave. They say that Velasquez met the teenage victim online in May of 2017, and the girl was living with him. She is now reported missing, and police believe that she is with Velasquez. He is wanted for statutory rape. He's described as 5'11", weighing 180 pounds, and is believed to be driving a black Nissan Altima with Pennsylvania plates. Anyone with information about his whereabouts is asked to contact the Philadelphia Police Special Victims Unit. In sports this morning, the NCAA tournament begins today, and the two local teams, the Villanova Wildcats and the Penn Quakers, will both be in action. The Ivy League champion Quakers have a tough task as the 16 seed in the West region takes on the number one seeded Kansas Jayhawks in Wichita, Kansas. Tip-off is scheduled for 2 o'clock. The Villanova Wildcats, who won the Big East tournament, are the number one seed in the East and will play Radford in a game in Pittsburgh. Tip-off for that matchup is set for 6:50. The Flyers and Sixers are also both in action tonight. The Flyers are at home and play the Columbus Blue Jackets. Blue Jackets and the puck drops at 7 o'clock and the Sixers are on the road. With the game in Manhattan against the New York Knicks, tip-off is at 7:30. And the Eagles have re-signed linebacker Nigel Bradham to a 5-year, $40 million deal. Bradham had a strong season last year with 85 tackles and 5 tackles for loss. More players continue to depart as changes continue for the Eagles. Patrick Robinson has signed a new deal with the New Orleans Saints for 4 years, $20 million with $10 million guaranteed. The Eagles actually offered more money overall, but the Saints offered more guaranteed. Friend of the show, defensive tackle Bo Allen is expected to sign with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and that announcement should be official later today. But the Eagles are still the Super Bowl champs. So we have that, and that's what I have for you this morning.
All right, thank you very much, Kathy. So today should be a good day today, friends, because, well, we got some food here in the studio, and that means we'll do some giveaways. Our friends at Maggie's Waterfront Cafe will be by. They have a big St. Patty's Day party coming up that they want to promote.
That's right.
We had a mixer there one time. It's right on the Delaware River. It's a beautiful place.
It's great.
So they'll bring in some goodies, and we'll have your chance to win some stuff. And for the first time ever on the President Steve Show, we're going to have Bill Murray on the program.
Yes.
Pretty excited about that. Bill Murray and Jan Vogler. Jan is a world-renowned cellist, and he and Bill have gotten together. They have put an album out. They recorded it, and they are touring, and they are going to be at the Academy of Music on April 4th. There are tickets available for Kimmel Center through KimmelCenter.org.
I might have to check that out because I've been doing the research on it. It's they sort of invented a kind of art form. So it's a great readings from literature, great pieces of literature paired with music. And yep. it's things like Bill Murray singing I Feel Pretty from West Side Story.
Yeah, he actually sings on occasion throughout this, but some of it is reading some of his favorite literature, whether it be poems or
Hemingway.
Sections of great novels and so forth. But it works. It's interesting, and it's Jan, and they have three other musicians that accompany them. So we're going to talk to them about 9:30 this morning, both Bill and Jan Vogler. So that should be an interesting little moment here on the show. We also have a Word of the Week prize, Premiere 2 Ready Player 1 in Los Angeles. We will be giving that away tomorrow, but you need today's letter. We will get to the end of the show. And then we are getting ourselves set for a special live broadcast tomorrow in Clearwater, Florida. So we'll be leaving. Actually, we're going to be wrapping up the show early because we got to catch a flight. So our program will end no later than 10 a.m.
We know
when it's supposed to.
Right.
But normally we get done 10:30, 10:45. But we're going to be done, to the regular listener, we'll be done a little bit early today as we get ready to head out. And it's sponsored by Winter Airport Parking, winterairportparking.net. And we're going to be talking to a lot of people tomorrow morning with the team. Should be pretty cool. So we have those things going on and more. We're going to take a quick break. We will come back in just a moment, and I'll have a stupid question. You know what? I'll do a Toys R Us question.
Yeah.
Stupid question when we come back. And then we'll get into the entertainment report that I have set aside for you. Back in a moment. Just stay with us.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Hey, it's Preston. Listen, when I want to relax, I go to Hand & Stone Massage Facial Spa. Listen, whether you want a rejuvenating massage or refreshing facial, Hand & Stone is the place to go. Introductory massages or facials start at just $59.95. Visit handandstone.com or one of their 50 locations in the Delaware Valley. Restrictions apply. See spa for details.
French Creek Outfitters in Phoenixville has everything you need for the great outdoors and beyond. All the big-name brands, they have them. Visit FrenchCreekOutfitters.com for additional info. French Creek Outfitters, why take a chance with anybody else?
Are you ready for love? Well, Steven Singer Jewelers has hand-picked diamonds paired with beautiful mountings to create a stunning engagement ring that's ready to go right now. Check out his Ready for Love diamond engagement ring collection online at IHateStevenSinger.com and have it shipped immediately for free, all at the perfect price. One place, one price. Steven Singer Jewelers.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
We're going to do the stupid question. Take us to see Rain, the Beatles tribute, and it's the 50th anniversary release of Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. The shows are March 23rd through the 25th, the Academy of Music. Question I have for you. Let's do a Toys R Us one. What is the name of the mascot of Toys R Us? 215-263-WMMR. The name of the mascot of Toys R Us, which if you missed, they're going out of business, man, completely liquidating the whole deal. 215-263-WMMR. Today is Thursday, March 15th. A lot of musical birthdays today.
Nice.
Mark Hoppus of Blink 182. He is the bassist, and he is 46 years old today.
The Blink 182 songs I like a lot. I don't know a lot of their full library.
Yeah.
But the hits I like.
Well, they have so many of them because all their songs are 2.5 minutes long.
I know.
And they've got like 50,000 of them, but they're so damn catchy.
What did Pierre say? He said he went to the show, one of the shows, and like they were over cursing almost.
Well, no, it's like very sophomoric. Like, hey, farts.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Marissa?
Did you like that song?
Hey. Mark Hoppus, huge Eagles fan.
Oh, no
really?
Kidding.
Yeah, I actually saw him at the Raiders-Eagles game. He, like, we walked by each other like three times, and I kept staring, and I was like, how do I know this guy? And I realized it's him. I went on his Twitter, and he's a Raiders fan, and his second team is... I'm sorry, no, he's a Rams fan, and his second team is the Eagles.
Did you get the sense he likes farts?
I did. Okay. Yeah, we made eye contact. He, like, lifted up his leg like that.
You like farts? Hey, you, tiny.
One more time, Case.
Hey, Travis, did you just fart? Hey.
I don't know why Pierre didn't like that.
Mark Hoppus is 46 today. Then you have Mark McGrath, who is lead singer of Sugar Ray.
Hey, Sugar Ray, you like farts?
And he is 50 years old. They had a couple of hits. That's all they needed. And, you know.
What did he host?
And so, like, this song just continues to be used in all kinds of stuff. Yeah. Used in ad campains and stuff like that.
So. I liked Every Morning. We don't have it in our system, but I liked that one. That's I think more great, than this one.
Was he the host of Extra Access Hollywood for a while?
Song. I think it was on Extra, yeah, yeah. Steve. Yeah. So he's 50 today. Then our former MMR staff member, Dee Snider.
Yeah!
Dee celebrates his 63rd birthday today. And Dee used to do nights here at MMR. For a stretch, he would actually be here in the studios in Bella Kenwood. And then they set up an ISDN line, and he could do the show live from his house up in New York.
That's how it did. It created some weird problems and time shifts. But I was a fan, have been a fan. But then I saw the documentary.
Oh, my God.
Which is so good.
We Are Effing Twisted Sister, I think is the name of it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And Steve asked, he said, dude, you should watch this. And after a while, I eventually did. It's really good. And the thing about it is, the thing that's unique about it, unlike other documentaries about bands, is it is about the formation of and the lead up to when they became famous, and then it stopped.
That's it, yes.
It doesn't go into their run after they wrote We're Not Gonna Take It, and the videos and all the things.
Because you know
it,
that.
It's just how they grinded out in the clubs for years and years and years, how they got crapped on by the music industry, left and right,
constantly,
not taken seriously, and then they write this anthemic song and just exploded. And before that, it even gets to that point, the documentary stops.
Right, right.
And I appreciated that because you already knew all that stuff.
Sure.
And it's great. These guys were freaks of nature in these clubs.
Oh, yeah.
Doing outrageous stuff, and it's unbelievable that they survived the way they did. Really great documentary.
They keep going to that one record exec, Preston, who keeps saying, he pitches this band so much to his bosses that at one point his boss says, if you ever mention that band again, you're fired.
Yeah, flat out.
Wow.
And eventually it was his retribution because the band took off. And every time they had a moment to possibly get a step forward, something happened.
Knocked him back.
The drummer had a seizure or there was a blackout or something like that. Every time they stepped up to the plate, something crapped on him.
And it's funny, in retrospect, but at the time it must have been totally unnerving.
And you think they dressed outrageously once they hit. You should have seen it beforehand. They were just flat out drag queens.
Yeah, that was the whole deal.
Yeah, exactly. So, Dee Snider, happy 63rd birthday to you. Also, in that world of glam rock, Bret Michaels of Poison celebrates his 55th birthday today. And I like Bret Michaels, man. And Poison was one of those bands I crapped on forever as well. And
eventually, absolutely.
I'm like, you know what? These guys were, they were having nothing but a good time.
You just have to turn yourself over. And Bret Michaels was rock of love for the longest time, right?
Yep.
In fact, Norm MacDonald is playing.
Why did I
Bret
know
Michaels?
You were going to bring that up?
All right, here we go.
This is the hardest part of the show for me because I have to eliminate one of you. And this is very difficult because, you know, let's face it, you know, any of you would have sex with me. Taya, you're a very special lady. I'll never forget that time that you and me and that hobo had that threesome in the Greyhound bathroom. And I think that's when I realized that I had special feelings for you. Farrah, the first time I ever saw you, I thought, oh my God, that is one of the horriest looking whores I have ever seen in my life. And I have seen a lot of whores because I'm a rock star. And, you know, I've seen ladies like in the front row look at me with that super hoary look on their face. and you look hoarier than all of them. And that really means something.
You are the hoariest looking whore I've ever seen. All right, Brett Michaels is 55. Then I have a lot of birthdays, so let me zip through these. Judd Hirsch of Taxi fame is celebrating his 83rd birthday today. And what's the name of the show? Donuts,
yes. Supreme.
Superior Donuts.
Hitler's favorite donuts.
Super Duper Donuts.
How about this? Dunkin' Donuts.
Dunkin' Donuts. There we go, No, I didn't know that. But anyhow, nice guy. We spoke to him not that long ago. Very, very nice guy. He is 83. It's called Superior Donuts.
Superior Donuts. Yep. They're superior.
Actor Jai Courtney, who is in... what?
Jai!
Okay. Is that his nickname?
No, that's Jack Tripper.
Oh, I didn't know that. All right. So he is from Divergent, and in Suicide Squad, he was Captain Boomerang.
Yes. A lesser character for sure.
Yep. He's 32 today. Eva Longoria.
Kathy's favorite.
Desperate Housewives. Yeah, she's pretty awesome.
She's pregnant.
Is she? Oh, that's right.
Yeah,
right,
she looks really cute.
She's 43 and pregnant. Is this her first, I guess, Kath?
I think so.
Well, waited a little while. Then you have Will I Am, rapper and musician, Black Eyed Peas. He's also 43 years old today. David Cronenberg, the director.
Yes, great director.
Yeah, he's done some very interesting movies over the years. The Fly, Videodrome, which is a trippy movie.
Totally trippy.
Dead Ringers, I know you like that one, Steve.
Yes.
History of Violence, one of Kathy's favorites. He is 75 today.
He's an intense dude. He had a movie called Rabid. Marilyn Chambers was in it, and she had like this little piercer thing that came out from under her armpit.
I remember that.
It was pretty wild.
It was one of the only more mainstream movies that Chambers did. Yeah. Then you have Jimmy Swaggart, cousin of Jerry Lee Lewis.
Was in a hotel room with 21 whores. Please give me your money.
Yep.
Sure, Jimmy!
I have sinned against you, my Lord. And I would ask that your precious blood would wash and cleanse every stain.
Listen to that.
Until...
Oh my God.
It's horrible acting.
It is just the worst fake crying.
Peter Pap picked a pack of pickle peppers.
And these poor idiots had followed and believed him. Oh my God.
Preston, after this whole thing blew up, when he's delivering this, the place is like 3/4 full. There's still people showing up.
Of course. He's 83
today. He's banging hookers.
Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Supreme Court Justice, second woman to hold that rank following Sandra Day O'Connor.
She's really tiny and shrivelly.
She is 85 years old today. And then last birthday, it is Fabio's birthday today.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm. One of our favorite in-studio guests. He was a lot of fun.
Yielded one of our favorite pictures of him holding Nick.
Yep, cradling him like a baby. Holding
just relax.
Him up. Just relax.
He was funny, man. Yep. He was good.
He's 59 today. All right, let's see if we can get an answer to our stupid question. What is the name of the Toys R Us mascot? 215-263. WMMR is the number, and I'm going to go to Bob for the answer. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning, guys.
Hey, Bob, so what's the name of the Toys R Us mascot, please?
That'd be Jeffrey the Giraffe.
You are correct. Hold on just a moment. Yeah, we found out that they are going to sell or close all 800 U.S. stores. That's sad. But for Bob, it's good because he got it right. We got tickets to see Rain, tribute to the Beatles, celebrating the 50th anniversary of the release of Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. For the first time, Rain will bring the historic album to life in its entirety for this psychedelic multimedia spectacular, and it pulls all your favorites out as well. So March 23rd through the 25th, the Academy of Music, and tickets and information available at KimmelCenter.org. Hollywood joined the tens of thousands of students marchers who protested gun violence Wednesday during the national school walkout. Chris Evans, of course, Captain America, tweeted out, "The young people of this generation give me so much hope." While Scandal's Kerry Washington wrote, "Dear students, I stand with you. I support you." Whoopi Goldberg actually joined the students in person, hitting the streets of New York. Whoopi! In New York City. Mark Hamill, Katy Perry, Susan Sarandon, Patton Oswalt were among dozens of bold-faced names endorsing March for Our Lives.
Notice one name you didn't mention.
Hasselhoff.
You son of a... bitch.
But they hit the streets of various cities across the county, country, I'm sorry, in support of stricter gun laws.
David Hasselhoff here? Anybody seen David Hasselhoff?
And, of course, there's a march on the 24th as well. And, in fact, Children's Network Nickelodeon paused its programming as well for 17 minutes in solidarity with the students protesting school violence.
Was it Nickelodeon and MTV, all of the Viacom cluster?
Yeah. Several of them. So from 10 a.m. to 10:17 a.m., Nickelodeon broadcasts a message in support of kids leading the way today. Nickelodeon will be off air until 17 minutes past the hour. A lot of people tweeted in and said the message made them tear up, including author Steve Huff. But not every parent was pleased with the decision to cut off the airing of Paw Patrol. One mom who goes by Raven Patriot on Twitter slammed the network because the lack of programming made her kids cry.
Okay.
She said, "Don't drag my toddlers into this."
Well, wait until your toddlers go to school and then you have to worry about that.
There I know. I mean, it's sort of the message is lost a little bit because it's to kids who don't understand. Like it. Okay.
It's in support.
No,
I
understand that, but why not
do understand?
Why not do it when like the kids that they're speaking to? I mean, they did it at the same time.
Anyway, as Steven said, Viacom cable networks, including MTV, BET, and Comedy Central, all took part in that as well. Gabrielle Union says just opening up about her sexual trauma has helped her get past it. Writing my book, she said, which is called "We're Going to Need More Wine." Was therapeutic, she tells Good Housekeeping. Whether I was talking about sexual assault, failed marriages, or finding joy in being my authentic self. The star said that her book landed on the New York Times bestseller list when it was released in October of last year.
Gabrielle Union's book was on the bestseller list?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
She said, acknowledging you're in pain is the first step and then seeking help. The online community is full of people going through the exact same thing you are. A month after sharing her story in the book, she reportedly opened up about being raped at gunpoint as a teen. She talked about this in front of an audience at the Inspire a Difference Award ceremony. Union is rarely afraid to speak her mind. Earlier this week, she called out the media for referring to her as Dwayne Wade's wife in headlines about their $200,000 donation to March for Life. She said, "When they let you know what they think of you, I have a name," she wrote on Twitter. Kendall Jenner was missing in action at Fashion Week this season.
I noticed.
But she makes up for it by gracing Vogue's April issue. Inside with Jonathan Van Meter, she discusses her sexuality, her private life, and some of the controversies that have come to define her.
What does she say about her sexuality? Is she, as they say, fluid?
Not really. I'll get
to
that in a moment.
Is she a full-blown lesbian?
No, she doesn't say that. At 22, by the way, she is the highest paid fashion model in the world.
That has got to drive the models that came before her out of their skulls.
I would think so. She explains her recent widely noted absence from the runway thusly. She said, "I made it a point at the beginning of 2017 to consciously slow down, take more time for myself, be more selective.
I'm going to be more selective.
And not just do whatever my agents tell me to do." Chilling out for Jenner involves riding horses, a passion that she indulges in with her horses, Belle and Dylan. Plus, she does some transcendental meditation. She said, "I did this my whole life. It was my life. I didn't care for anything else. I didn't care about boys. This is what makes me really happy," she said, of bonding with her horses at the barn. I said, "I had a lot of people in the industry say to me, 'I know you have a busy schedule. What do you do to stay calm, cool, and collected?' And I was like, nothing.
And, shut the f*** up!"
And then one day when I was having a freak out! I was,
"Where are my horses?"
She said I was having multiple freak outs. And I was like, okay, I'm going to try this. So I found this lady. She's awesome. She taught me TM, and I love it, which is the meditation. Now, about her sexuality, Steve.
All right.
She admitted that there has been speculation. Because unlike her fellow Keeping Up with the Kardashians family, she is not frequently seen broadcasting her love life for all to see.
Uh-huh.
She said, "I think it's because I'm not like all my other sisters who are like, here's me and my boyfriend. So it was a thing for a minute because no one ever saw me with a guy. I would always go that extra mile to be low key with guys, sneaking around all the time."
We've seen her with a few guys.
She said, you don't want to, like, look crazy.
No, you don't want to, like, look crazy.
She said, I don't think I have a bisexual or gay bone in my body, but I don't know. Who
would
knows?
You like...
she said, would you like one?
Would you like a bisexual bone in your body?
I'm all down for experience, not against it whatsoever, but I've never been there before. She adds that while she's not transgender or anything, she has a tough energy. I move differently. But to answer your question, I am not gay. I have literally nothing to hide. She also danced around the question of who she's dating.
Ooh.
Just saying that I'm happy. He's very nice.
Oh, my God.
She's rumored to be dating Blake Griffin.
Oh, so, that guy?
Yeah, I don't know about that. Who is that guy?
He's a basketball player.
Okay. All right. That's a rumor, but she didn't admit anything.
She opened up my eyes to her. I'm looking at her in a completely different light now.
Well, that's good now. Hey, Jeopardy viewers, had a blast from the past during Tuesday's episode. One of the featured contestants, Paris Themen, is the former child star who played the TV-obsessed kid Mike TV in the beloved 1971 film Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
How cool is this?
Wow. He was a contestant on the show. The strangest part about it is he didn't mention his Wonka connection. In fact, when asked by Alex Trebek about an interesting fact... Themen talked about being an avid backpacker, noting he's backpacked on 6 out of 7 continents. So they didn't even ask him about that, and he probably wanted to keep that quiet anyway. But that didn't stop fans from immediately recognizing him and pointing out his former star status on Twitter.
How do you recognize
him? Facially, he's very similar. His head is shaved, but we referenced him a lot because... I noticed that Mike TV sounds a lot like Miley Cyrus.
Yes.
That's right.
A lot like Miley Cyrus. Absolutely. Themen came in second place, by the way, despite a strong start, though he has acted since he hasn't acted since a minor role in 2007 Star Trek Voyager. Themen has seemingly remained in the film industry. He was credited as a production assistant on the 2011 romantic comedy Something Borrowed and appeared as himself on several food shows, including Top Chef, Just Desserts, and Cake Wars. So he does some food shows every now and then.
Hey, seems like a nice guy.
Yeah.
Seems happy.
That's cool.
Why wouldn't he be? He's backpacking.
Yeah, we're all over the world.
All over the world.
Let's see here. Victoria's Secret model. You want another one?
My God. Okay.
Grown at. Victoria's Secret model Bridget Malcolm is...
What does she consider the perfect breakfast?
No, she's closing the book on dieting.
Oh, she's closing the book on dieting. Okay.
And says she's never felt better.
This is getting real now.
The 26-year-old says that she decided to make peace with her body in August, tossing scales and her smallest clothing and deleting shots of herself at her smallest from her phone.
I'm throwing them away!
She said, basically, I wanted no point of reference anymore of a time when I was smaller or larger.
Well, honestly, we're seeing a picture of her. She has let herself go.
She wrote on her blog, I just wanted to stop looking in mirrors and telling myself that I was too fat and not doing enough. Easy to say, insanely hard to do.
I'll tell you one thing to this point, though. They had the two female stars, Veronica and Betty, from Riverdale. And they had posted some pictures. They'd appeared on Cosmo Teen, I guess it was, the cover. And they pointed out they really do a hell of a lot of retouching on those photographs because they, like, sheared away. They're beautiful women, but they still made them thinner than they were, and they were thin to begin with.
Man.
So you can understand why they become so focused on weight.
Nick pulled up a picture of this this gal, Bridget Malcolm, in black lingerie.
Is she pretty by any chance, Preston?
She's kind of pretty.
Yeah.
No, but she's wearing black lingerie and the, you know, the garter belt with the stockings and the whole thing. Kathy, have you ever worn the garter belt and stockings?
No.
To
never
work?
At all? No, not to work. I mean, just, I got to believe that underneath clothing, that can't be comfortable.
It's not,
at
it can't
all.
Be.
The look is great, though.
It is.
It is a very sexy look.
It's one of my all-time favorites.
When I'm wearing that stuff, I feel so sexy.
You know what? I think I wore it once for a Halloween costume.
Okay. But it looks like it
was. She was
be
Winnie the Pooh.
I was a hooker.
Hooker Pooh.
So anyhow... she said, insanely hard to do. I was attempting to undo 12 years of being told to lose weight and tone up. She adds that she feels much better now. She said, my life is so much more than my jean size. And every day when
Shut
that...
Shut
When that voice in my head tries to tell me I am worthless, it gets a little easier to shut it down.
Here's the deal.
And I'm setting myself free slowly, she said.
We're looking at this rig, this clothing here, the stockings and the whole deal.
Yeah,
the Kathy, why don't they just have the stockings attached to the underwear, to the panties?
Then it's pantyhose, right?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, then it would be one full piece. I think that's easier to get on.
Because the straps go to this thing that floats above.
The garter belt.
Yeah, because then it's not sexy. Then it's just one piece that's like all the way up to your waist.
This is all about how it looks.
Just
to make
it working
things look hot.
Taking things off slowly.
Well, you remember in, was it Bull Durham? Yeah, he makes him wear the garter belt.
He's facing the wrong direction.
Rose goes in the front, man.
Preston, when you take your socks off at night, you sit on the bed, raise your leg up, and roll them off slowly.
Oh, of course I do. I have a full-size mirror in front of my bed.
I do it, too. And then I have a little atomizer. Then it's to bed.
Yep. So anyhow, she says she's bailing on the diet thing. Olivia Munn, another beautiful woman, has had it with United Airlines, telling TMZ she's never going to fly the airline again. She is responding to not only the recent death of a French bulldog forcibly stowed in the overhead compartment, but of the recent accusations of mistreatment of human passengers as well, including the forceful dragging of a doctor off a United flight last April. Of course, you remember that.
And then they dragged a bulldog off a flight.
United Airlines, meanwhile, says that it is now taking steps to avoid a repeat of the deadly mistake, with new tags being issued to customers traveling with in-cabin pets.
I saw the tag. It says, don't kill.
Don't kill. Yeah. Please don't kill.
Don't kill.
So Olivia Munn says she's flat out never gonna fly with them again.
Olivia Munn is, she's gorgeous, obviously, but I've noticed a shift facially.
Have you?
She doesn't. Oh. She looks great. But she doesn't look particularly munnish.
I think she's had a nip, had a tuck.
I don't know.
Had something.
I do not know.
Okay. Munnish.
We'll keep an eye. Let's see, have a few other things.
More bottles.
How about this? Now, Star Wars creator George Lucas has broken ground on the $1.5 billion Lucas Museum of Narrative Art.
Oh, my God.
Scheduled to open in 2021, so it's a little ways off.
2021.
The museum is envisioned as not just a record of the creation of the Star Wars universe and a repository for memorabilia associated with it, but as a broad institution devoted to all forms of visual storytelling, from comic strips to paintings to film. That could be pretty damn cool.
It would be fantastic. There's a classic picture from, I guess, the 80s. It's George Lucas standing amidst all sorts of props and physical stuff from the Star Wars movies.
Mm-hmm.
I would go to a museum that just had that.
Yeah.
What set in all of the Star Wars films would you like to be on the most?
The set?
Millennium Falcon.
It's the most iconic, I think.
Or Dagobah.
Or,
you gotta pick one.
Okay, then Falcon.
Huh.
That's a tough one, Case.
The Luke's Aunt's Kitchen.
Yeah. Oh, Aunt Beru?
Aunt Beru.
You know what? That's actually not a bad set. It's not.
You can go there, right? Is it in Tunisia?
Yeah, somewhere. They just showed a picture of it recently, one of the tabloid sites. It's, as you would imagine, fallen into a little disarray.
Relax, have a glass of blue milk, and enjoy yourself.
And I asked that question as if the set were a real, actual place.
Oh, to actually visit if it was real.
If it was real.
Well, then like a Star Destroyer or something like that.
Yeah, I thought you meant... one of the actual
Well, this
sets.
Way you can actually...
Because I think I'd want to be on the Death Star.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah. I don't know how you... I mean, especially...
shiny black floor and everything.
And when you book it, get a window room.
That's what when you open your door.
Yeah.
I would like a window room.
Yes. That's a good question. All right, so anyhow, work from Norman...
Yes, my bidet is not working.
Work from Norman Rockwell, Edgar Degas, and Robert Crumb and Renoir are just a few of the items set to be displayed. Pussies.
So this is supposed to. This is a design of the museum. It kind of looks like an insole
of a shoe.
Yeah,
it does. You're right. It's got a unique look to it. Yeah, you're right.
It's Renoir doesn't pump my nads. Who pumps my nads?
Moliere.
Well, if you find the right woman.
Moliere really pumps my nads. All right, anyhow, Ellen DeGeneres is teaming up with Olympic fave Adam Rippon for a TV project. This is according to Page Six. He'll be producing a reality show with Ellen. The details are to be determined, but they are partnering. The insider added he gave his first televised interview after the Olympics to Ellen, and now they're going into business together. During the Olympics, she reached out to him and had to meet him. Now, I don't know who
Adam the show is called Rippin' a Juicy One.
Is it Rippin' or Rip-On? I've honestly heard both. He's from Northeast Pennsylvania. He's the first openly gay figure skater, so he made a lot of headlines during the Winter Olympics. Keith Jones interviewed him. Keith Jones from NBC 10 interviewed him several times and said he was awesome.
Cool.
So he's got a really big personality and will transition very well over to TV.
All right. He's going to be doing a show with Ellen, so we'll see what that is. Speaking of shows, This Is Us, Dan Fogelman is giving fans a glimpse of Life Itself, a film that will tell a multi-generational love story in New York, Spain, and beyond. Oscar Isaac and Olivia Wilde will be starring.
Dan Fogelman.
Yeah, Fogelman directed and wrote Life Itself, which also features Mandy Patinkin, Annette Bening, and Olivia Cook. It will drop on September 21st. Okay, he's from This Is Us.
Okay.
I guess he wrote
someone
that.
Different. All right. All right.
Are you thinking of Dan Fogler?
From the Goldbergs.
And he's in, isn't he in Fantastic Beasts?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. He's wonderful in that, by the way.
I was thinking of Dan Fogelberg.
I was thinking, yes, who is great. The leader of the band is tired.
Yeah.
And his eyes are growing old.
Mm.
Kathy and I watched the show, and we don't know who that guy is.
I think he's the creator.
Yeah.
He's not an actor.
No. He's the man who created it.
He's a genius. He's doing
a new thing called Life Itself.
He did Tangled, Casey.
I like that guy.
The movie, or the TV show.
The movie.
Excellent. I just watched that 2 weeks ago with my daughter again. I love that movie. Sarah Drew and Michelle Hurd, excuse me, have joined.
Might as well not even exist.
Well, no, they have joined CBS's reboot of the classic police procedural Cagney and Lacey.
Wow.
They're redoing that.
God, I hated that show.
Yeah. Oh, you did.
I just hated them both. These big loudmouth. I mean, the characters themselves were just so annoying.
They don't need to reboot Cagney and Lacey. Just call it something else. Don't call it Cagney and Lacey.
Well, I'm so glad that you hate them because our family calls me and Katie, who called in earlier this week.
Oh, Man Face Katie?
Man Face Katie. They call us Cagney and Lacey.
Oh, there you go.
Why? Just whatever.
Some detective things we do.
Oh,
Maybe like social media detectives.
Hurd will play the athletic and polished LAPD detective Lacey, while Drew will take on her laid-back protege.
That's my partner, Mary Beth.
The original show ran on CBS for 7 seasons, beginning in 1982.
The other chick you never see, and then the man who was the. What's her name? Tyne Daly. You see her pop up from time to time. She's been in some Avengers stuff.
What do you mean, the man?
The big bruiser.
Yeah,
Tyne Daly was the big swaggering.
I don't remember the show very well. I don't know who was more mannish than the other.
Yeah.
All right, and then finally, after famously almost portraying Superman in the proposed 1998 film Superman Lives, set to be directed by Tim Burton, Nicolas Cage is finally getting to put on the shiny cape.
I'm from the planet Krypton.
Although you won't see him. The Oscar-winning actor will voice Superman for Teen Titans Go, but it's called Teen Titans Go to the Movies. So they're going to make a movie out of it.
That's cool. He's finally getting, because I think we can all agree at this point, he's well past viability for any Superman incarnation.
Oh, yeah. Executive producer.
But the voice, that's no problem.
Sam Register tells USA Today the Cartoon Network show turned film hits theaters July 27th. And Teen Titans Go is more of a comedic show. The first Teen Titans that came out was a little more straight ahead superhero. And this one's a little more jokey. So he'll
be perfect. Yeah.
It should fit right in with that. All right. So let's do clips. Netflix is On My Block explores a rough inner city, Los Angeles neighborhood, and 4 smart, funny, and streetwise teens as their lifelong friendship is tested when they begin high school. In this clip, Diego Tinoco speaks about the struggles of his character, Caesar. Here we go.
He had this plan to go off to college with his best friends, entering high school, fresh face, and his brother gets released from prison and gets him, you know, sucked into, like, the gang life. And, you know, he thinks he has no escape and that's the only route, but luckily he has his 3 best friends to pull him out of it.
I don't think I want to see it.
On My Block premieres on Netflix tomorrow. Let's do the next clip. Here we go. 7 days in Entebbe recounts the true story of Operation Entebbe, a 1976 counter-terrorist hostage rescue operation. In this clip, Rosamund Pike speaks about playing one of the members of the terror group and the complexity of evil characters.
You won't admire what they do, but if at any point you feel something for them, then that's quite interesting along the way. You probably won't give a damn in the end what happens to them, but if at any point we make you feel something, then that's complicated for an audience. It's challenging.
You're a girl.
7 days in Entebbe is in theaters tomorrow,
she,
by the way.
She raises a good point, though. For a villain to work, you know, even if this is a real story based on a true story, there has to be a moment where you can sort of connect to them.
Yes.
That those are the best villains.
Yeah, that's that really, yeah. Might really hit you.
Michael B. Jordan in Black Panther.
Yeah.
Perfect
you
example.
You understand he's doing horrible stuff,
yep.
But there's a part of you that can sort of understand it.
Yep. All right, and there you go. That's what I have for the entertainment report this morning. Listen, we are going to try to remain on time today. Some of our benchmark moments on the show may shift a little bit and go a little bit earlier because we have a special live broadcast tomorrow. We got to catch a flight right after the program and head to Clearwater, Florida, for Philly spring training.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll be broadcasting tomorrow morning. I am excited about this. We have a lot of great things that we have planned for tomorrow, and we'll see how they roll out. So make sure that you do join us tomorrow morning. Just a heads up on today's program. Bill Murray will be joining us today, along with cellist Jan Vogler. That'll be around 9:30. Make sure you're here for that as well. We'll be back in a moment.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
The Foo Fighters. Stone Sour. 30 Seconds to Mars.
New music. More of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
Hey! All right, thank you very much, Kathy. Hey, I would like to mention something real quick. For the first time ever, the Preston and Steve Show has set up a GoFundMe page. Now, we're kind of newbies at this.
Yes.
Casey set up the whole thing. Did you write this this synopsis here, Case?
Yes. Well, I took a lot of the information from a correspondence that I had with Sherry.
All right. So Sherry and Joe were at the Cardboard Classic. Like some of the people, they got into a little fender bender. They got into a car accident. And while you might think, oh, well, you know, a lot of people did. Well, Sherry was pregnant with twins.
Yes.
And we told this story in the air. And so they, because of the car accident, they didn't want to move her because she had started going, she started contracting. And it was way too early. Like, Casey, how many weeks early? Like she's 12 weeks early or something?
She's at 28 weeks. You're supposed to be pregnant for...
With twins, I think it's like about 36 to 38.
Yeah, okay. They wanted her to keep the babies until 34 weeks. She was 28 weeks pregnant. I did my math wrong when I tweeted this out. But anyhow, so they took her to Lehigh Hospital, and they wanted to keep her there for, like, months until this was over. But, like, a week later... She gave birth. So the babies are really, really tiny, 2 pounds, 10 ounces. And so they have to stay in the Lehigh Valley. They're in housing right by the hospital. And so anyhow, that costs money to stay there.
Well, they're also from Tabernacle, New Jersey.
Yeah, yeah, they're from Jersey.
So they're completely removed from their normal environment.
And they've got to stay there through May.
Yes.
So anyway.
What you would call a completely unplanned trip.
Yeah. So this was at our event. And,
yeah.
And we feel, you know, that it's our responsibility to step in and try and help out a little bit. So we put up a GoFundMe page. If you can spare $10 or something like that, that'd be wonderful. If you want to do more than that, that'd be awesome. But I think if we get a good group of people, we can help these guys out. And they were at our event. And, you know, so we feel like
we
have an obligation to help them out.
Yeah. And you know, so I had had a nice correspondence with Sherry. She's extremely grateful just for us even reaching out. But, you know, it was like the hits just keep on coming, right? Okay, so she was pregnant. She was supposed to have the baby and babies in May. She has them, you know, at 28 weeks. She is coming home on a Friday. That Saturday, the next day, was supposed to be her baby shower. The nursery's not even done yet. She's got to stay in the Lehigh Valley. You know, it's just boom, boom, boom. And then on top of it all, she didn't want to ask for anything. So I asked her, I said,
yes.
Is it okay? Would you be okay if we did this? Because, you know, they didn't want to ask for anything.
Yeah.
And so she's really, really
she seems like a wonderful person.
Yeah.
Don't
yeah.
even tell her about Toys R Us.
I won't. Oh, I know.
All right, so anyway, that is up. It's on PrestonandSteve.com. It says charity, the Sherry, Joe, Parker, and Peyton Fund. So if you can drop a couple bucks in there, we'd appreciate it.
Yes.
And then we got to figure out how to get the money to them because we've never done this before.
We have
no idea how this works.
What I do know is GoFundMe for offering, you know, their services and being, you know, the hub, they take a percentage.
Yes. That's how they keep running.
I just don't know how to get the money from them and give it to Sherry.
I'm sure we can determine that. Yeah, okay.
We'll figure it out. And if you know how, if you email Casey because he's the point guy on this. All right, and we meet all kinds of people, and we hear all kinds of stories from some. Some are stories like these guys. They've had something tragic happen in their lives and need some assistance. Others have great, wonderful, beautiful stories. Other ones just have stories that make you go, "What?" And so we had somebody in here the other day, a listener who was watching the show, full grown adult. Lives in the area. I forgot exactly where she was from.
From North Philly, I think.
She was from Northeast Philadelphia. Because I was actually chatting with her, and she would shop at certain places, but just not one big place.
Yeah, so that day after our show, she was going to, for the first time in her life, the King of Prussia Mall.
Wow.
She's lived here all of her life and has never been to
at least
KOP.
In her late 20s,
yeah, I think,
right?
She was late 20s. She was the one that was pregnant, right?
Yes, I believe so.
Okay, so I ended up talking to her. I think she was in her late 20s, and she was from Northeast Philly and used to shop at the Roosevelt Mall and Oxford Valley Mall, which is closer to her in that area,
but
had never been to the King of Prussia Mall.
You are in proximity to what I would say is probably the mall of the country.
Sure.
Yes. You know, the Mall of America is a different experience.
Yeah,
but as far as a mall, KOP is it.
I remember my first time I ever went to the King of Prussia Mall, it was the day after my high school graduation, the day before I left for senior week. So I was like, man, I need to get a whole bunch of stuff for senior week. I'm going to that place. And you know what? I went to the wrong one. I went to the crappy little one, not like the big one.
Oh, what? When there were two sides to the King of Prussia Mall?
Yeah, you have like the court and the plaza.
Was it? Right, you went to one side. Whatever the other.
Bloomingdale's is.
Well,
which now it's all one big.
It
doesn't make it doesn't make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to say I didn't know about the King of Prussia Mall, but I had also never gone until I went to Westchester, and it was only about 20 minutes from Westchester. So, like, growing up, we never went to the King of Prussia Mall.
Really?
Yeah, the only reason that I went was because I was so close in Westchester, and that was the mall. If you needed something to wear, that was the mall to go shop at, and I went because some of my roommates were going one day, hopped in the car with them, and I was like, wait a minute, this place is great.
See, I think it transcends, well, it's just geographically friendly. It's the King of Prussia Mall.
Right.
It itself is sort of a thing. It's a trip. Even if you don't have to go shopping, let's go check it out.
It's a day activity.
It's a day activity. So it just blows my mind that you live in this area and by happenstance even never, well, I'm going to go there or I have there's a store there that I need to go to.
We had our mall. You know what I mean? Case, we went to the Oxford Valley Mall. It was 10 minutes from my house. That was our mall. And as a kid, that was plenty. We didn't necessarily need to go to King of Prussia. But once, obviously, I found out about it.
Your mother was protecting you.
I think she was. Well, she was saving money.
I grew up in Paoli, and I had no idea how spoiled I was because the King of Prussia Mall was my mall by default growing up.
Right there.
And so that was just the mall that we went to because it was the mall of convenience. And then when you get a little bit older and you go to college and, like, people around the country and around the state and whatever know about this place, you're like, wait, no, that's just my mall. And they're like, no, but you're at King of Prussia. Like, it's the Valhalla of malls. And I'm like, other than Mall of America and maybe, like, the Galleria in L.A. or whatever – people around the country know about King of Prussia.
I got a very passionate text here that says, ain't got S on Christiana. Suck it.
For what Christiana is.
Oh, yeah, it's big.
It's fine.
Well, we're losing sight of the larger issue here, which is not Battle of the Malls.
No.
It's the fact that you have something right here, which when that was mentioned, we all went, and I actually covered Kathy's eyes.
He helped me.
What?
I lived in this area for less than probably 2 weeks before I went to King of Prussia Mall.
Did you know about it before you moved here?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
I didn't, but it has since grown. I mean, it's gotten a lot bigger since I've been here, so.
But things that now we've done the Liberty Bell and all this. We've talked about that stuff. But just things, just standard. Casey, I think you were mentioning something about the movies or something.
Marissa did. Marissa said, or did you? Okay.
I mean, I don't know, but I'm sure there are people out there that have never been to the movies.
Never gone, yeah.
To a movie theater to see a movie. Those poor people.
Really?
Well, especially now, Kathy.
Well, he's saying hypothetically, so we don't know if this is a fact.
It's so expensive.
It really is. Yeah.
I mean, it is really cost prohibitive.
It's Remember the dollar movie theaters? Like, that was what, you know, if you had growing up, our parents would get us all together. They had multiple kids, so you'd go to the dollar movie because it was cheap for them.
Yeah. I mean, now, if you do want to really do the full movie experience, if there's, like, this new Marvel movie and you've got, you know, kids that you want to take to it, and it's, you know, you're paying for four people or so, and you decide to do the IMAX 3D, the whole deal, and then you buy the food, I mean, you're talking $150 probably.
Yeah, you probably have to live in Wakanda to afford it.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. Marissa?
Casey, what's the tea cooler place?
Oh, Swiss Farms.
Swiss Farms. I've never been to a Swiss Farms. I've driven by them. They scare me.
You're nervous, right?
I'm nervous.
You don't know what to do.
Well, I don't know what to do.
So, I mean, they kill in Delco, and they've tried to expand outside of Delco.
We killed it!
Well, it just doesn't work. They opened one in New Jersey near Chuck's house. And it went out of business, like, I don't even know.
That's the Chuck factor. Anything that opens up near him dies.
Maybe a year or whatever. But, I mean, it's a drive-through supermarket,
essentially. Well, it's like, these are, like, for example.
It's awesome.
Is there someone who's never been to a Wawa?
Now, how is that?
No,
what kind of sheltered individual? In other words... I'm saying this, and I don't, if you're listening and you've never been, and I don't mean to be offensive, but you disgust me.
I will say, there are probably people around here who have never been to a 7-Eleven.
No, there's definitely people who haven't been to a Wawa, for sure. We, growing up, again, I'm going back to growing up, but we didn't have a lot of Wawas in Bucks County, and I, again, had never been to a Wawa until I went to Westchester, and there was a Wawa right down the street from the campus. I told Casey the other day, I took Jace to Wawa for the first time, and as he got to each aisle, he would gasp. And he'd be like, like there was more stuff to look at, more to choose from. He couldn't believe it.
Kathy, at your speech to the Westchester University students, you should have said, and this college experience, you will see malls and convenience stores that you've never seen. That was Kathy's college experience.
That was pretty much it, yeah, yeah.
It opened up a world of malls and convenience stores.
And 50-cent drafts at Jake's.
And 50-cent drafts, yes. No, I was just blown away that, I mean, it's, and a couple of people are texting in that, you know, why would I ever want to go there? I have no interest in going there. I've never been there. Well, that's because you've never been there. You have no interest in going there. I don't know. It's,
I don't know. That seems like a check it off the list. Not even like a bucket list, you know? Yeah.
Marissa?
I thought of another one.
Okay.
I've never been to a Sonic.
Oh, me neither.
Really?
Oh, I've never been to a Sonic.
They were probably not for one a little near while.
You. Yeah.
Yeah, there's that one out by Rofo.
There's one.
That was my son's like favorite place to go when he was 3 and 4, so we went all the time.
I pass two on a regular basis, and yeah.
East Norton.
East Norton, yeah, and then there's one in Willow Grove that I have to go to occasionally, and I think the whole like
it's the car hop thing that throws you off, right?
Yeah, I don't know.
Because you don't know what to
do.
It's actually easier than going through a drive-thru, to be honest. But, Kathy, there's nothing redeeming as far as healthy food goes. And I mean, there is absolutely nothing that you can get.
But once you turn yourself over.
Oh, it's great.
It is
awesome. I love Sonic.
See, I love the car hop idea because I grew up going to a place called Weber's in New Jersey, which is awesome. But they have tater tots, right?
Yes.
At Sonic?
Yeah.
All right, I got to go.
You love tater tots, don't you?
Because you commiserate.
And some of the car hops wear roller skates or roller blades.
At Sonic?
Sonic?
Yeah. I never saw that.
Oh, yeah,
absolutely.
Okay. Like the old style 50s car hop.
Yep. I think it would be funny. Like, that's what Impractical Jokers should do. They should do that because if they don't know how to roller skate.
Get somebody who doesn't, yeah.
Yeah.
Hang on a second. Let me go to, I have Will. Hi, Will. You are on the air, sir.
Hey, Gadzook.
Gadzook, buddy, what's up, man?
Not much. I'm active duty Army, and I recently moved back to Pennsylvania back in July. I'm working in Oxford Valley as a recruiter right now, and my wife is from New Mexico, grew up in California, and first place I took her was to a Wawa, and she was just blown away.
Nice.
She's addicted to her coffee. That's all she has in her Keurig now at the house. and she's actually currently visiting family in New Mexico. And her dad grew up out here, so like a couple weeks ago, she sent her family the soft pretzels from Wawa.
Yeah,
they were all excited about them because they were still soft when they got there.
Yeah. Nice. Well, thank you, Will. I appreciate it. She's got a bit of an excuse. She's not from here. People who have been here and have grown up here and never been. Let me go to Kim here. Hey, Kim. Good morning.
Hey, Preston. Kim. You're a singing telegrammer.
Kim. She gave us Harry Balsack.
Yeah.
She's one of the singers behind
that. She gave us Harry Balsack.
That is absolutely correct.
Can you sing something this morning? I love her voice.
She is a great singer. Casey's pulling
Harry
up.
Harry Balsack. Harry Balsack.
Yes.
Harry Balsack. Live. There's live for you.
That's awesome.
What's up, Kim?
So I just had to call you guys because I love the King of Prussia Mall. I've been a million times, and I don't know if you guys know this, but my birthright is Northeast Philly. Mm-hmm. So my mom, I bought her this really beautiful Tiffany's necklace a couple years ago, and she's going to kill me for telling this story, but it tarnished. She'd maybe worn it once, and so I...
Say that again. Yeah. So,
I'm sorry.
We lost you for a second.
So I brought her to the King of Prussia Mall to see if I could get this Tiffany's necklace fixed or, you know, polished up. And she had never been. And she was so excited. And then when I brought her in to the Tiffany's, she was all like geared up as to what she was going to say to these people to get them to polish it for free.
Okay.
And she walks right up to the guy and says, "Look, I've never been here. I'm from Northeast Philly, so I've never been here. But this is what's going on with my necklace." And she then proceeded to, like, announce that to many other store workers. So, yeah, apparently that's a thing. Northeast Philly people do not go to King of Prussia Mall.
They just don't.
Okay. Yeah. Wait, did they polish it for free?
They did.
Because they don't do that anymore. They won't do it for free anymore.
They won't?
No, you got to pay for it.
What?
Yeah.
You know what? Maybe it's a Northeast Philly thing. If you're from Northeast Philly, they'll polish your jewelry for free.
Yeah, they check your license.
I'm from Bucks County. It's close.
Nice.
All right. All right, guys.
Thanks, Kim. Thanks. We'll talk to you later. All right,
bye.
See ya. We'll hear a little bit of her Harry Balsack song. So.
Harry Balsack.
That's her, by the way.
Harry Balsack. Casey boy.
So thank you, Kim. I appreciate that.
I love
that.
Her voice.
She's awesome. She's a great singer. Let me go to, I have Joe. Hey, Joe, good morning, sir. I'd do it, but I can't. What's up, Joe?
Oh, man. I've never been to the King of Prussia Mall or the Christiana Mall, and I live in South Jersey. I've driven past King of Prussia. I've lost count how many times.
Does it seem weird that we're so stunned that, you know, to encounter people who have never been to the King of Prussia Mall? And I understand on some level, but I think, do you have a desire? Is it in your bucket list, or is it, you know, there could be a multitude of reasons.
I've seen it plenty of times, but every time I go by, it is absolutely positively swamped, where it's like, I'm going to have to park 2 miles away and take like a mega hike. Like, I'm going to have to do what you do for fun, Steve, to try and hike.
Right, yeah.
There's no point.
Yeah.
And on a side note, you were talking about movie theaters.
Mm-hmm.
Have any of you been to the Delsey Drive-In down in...
No.
I've heard it's cool, yeah.
It's on my list.
That's one I would want to go to.
Wait, down in where?
Down in where, yeah.
It's in Vineland, New Jersey, down off of 55. For the price of one movie ticket at my local United Artists, you get to see two movies, and you sit in your car, you can sit on lawn chairs, it doesn't matter.
Oh,
I love going there.
It's an old-style drive-in, right?
Yep.
Yeah, there's a drive-in, and we talked about this before, in Lehigh Valley as well, that we go to from time to time. It is a lot of fun. All right, thanks, Joe. Go to the King of Prussia Mall, you pussy.
Yes, I just got a text from Chuck D'Amico, who was a promo director here for a while, and he had given away a trip to a woman who lived in New Jersey. This woman was in her mid-30s and had never been across the bridges.
Had never crossed the bridge into Pennsylvania.
Yes.
Wow. So why would you not
reason at one time or another?
It's funny, though, because it's in some ways, like, I don't consider myself a world traveler, mainly because I haven't traveled the world. But I've been to a few places, but in the continental United States, I've been to all the states. But, I mean, you know, there are some people, and if it's what you're into or your choice, that's fine. But, like, they'll grow up in a town and they'll live in that town. And getting outside of the town or going out just is of no interest to them.
I wonder if there's anybody listening that's been here for a long time and never been to New Jersey either.
Yeah.
Never been to New Jersey. It's right there.
It's right there.
It's right the freak there.
But that woman, you have to assume that she was in her mid-30s and never pumped her own gas.
Or the person who never goes to New Jersey but can't get enough of Delaware.
Yeah.
And what's that about?
I just can't get enough of it.
But I loves that Delaware.
But this text says KOP is too bougie.
It's too bougie.
It's not, though.
It's not.
They actually have de-bouging stations if you need to.
I mean, I will say that they don't even have a Taco Bell there anymore. It's now Chipotle. Mm-hmm. I mean, so that's, they're kind of bougie
out there.
Tell
you what, though, man. They got that grilled cheese place that's so good.
They do have that Mrs. Fields cookies, too.
Okay. They have a ton of great places to eat there, actually. Five Guys is there, too. Don't forget.
You know what? They killed the Rubies there.
They did. It's a
oh, really?
Faux place now.
Yeah.
Wait, what is it now?
Not faux. It's
I say pho. You say pho.
You say it wrong.
Well, how's it spelled? How's it spelled?
Pho. I know. I mean the same mistake, but it's pho, but it's pronounced pho.
Oh, the Vietnamese
soup noodle place? Dish. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. I call it pho.
Yeah, you call it wrong.
Pho. Mister.
I call it keep walking.
Yeah, well, pho you.
Pho you.
Go pho yourself.
Frig you.
Yeah, I was bummed out they got rid of Ruby.
Are you eating pho right now?
So my hang on a second. I'm going to go to, let me go to David. Hi, David. Good morning.
I'm a truck driver, and I've made deliveries to the King of Prussia Mall and actually never been inside.
Wow. Where do you live?
I live in Hamilton, New Jersey.
Okay. So. But you drive there on a regular basis?
Yes, and I've never been inside. Stopped to go inside to get food, nothing.
What do you do, like drop off the packages like a kid leaving Reese's Pieces for E.T. and just like, kind of go away?
Exactly.
You've never stepped inside the mall proper.
They
wow.
don't have to. There's like, never you know, they back inside. Their trucks up to the doors.
I guess you're right. The loading bays, right, yeah.
Hey, Davey, you said you're from Hamilton. Is it the Hamilton Mall that's out there or Quaker Bridge Mall?
It's Quaker Bridge Mall. They actually just recently redid it.
And is that a nice mall?
It's definitely gotten better over the years.
I love the KOP. If I'm going to go, there's a lot of great malls. There's a lot of great malls, and I've been to them all. But that to me is almost an entertainment thing. Like you don't even.
It's like you have to say you've at least gone there.
Yeah, but there's fun stuff going
so
on.
So fun everywhere.
Fun.
But here's the key: when you do go there, make sure you know what you want to get.
Have a plan.
There's too much.
But I think that's if you
that's
need
for
to
shopping for gifts.
Yeah, like, or even just if you need to go, like if I need to go to get something specific, yes, like I need a plan. You can't really just browse. You're going to be there for hours unless you're going for a day trip and that's what you want to do. You want to browse, you want to spend your whole day there. But like if I need to get something, I got to have a plan. I walk in, I go to those two stores and then I'm out.
You want to get the best out of your experience. Here's what you do. You park at the end by Sears over by kind of like the movie theater and all that. And you walk through the entire mall, go to all the way to the other side, and then eat at the Cheesecake Factory. And then
get a cab back.
Then get a cab all the way
back.
Well,
there you go.
That's how big it is.
You just brought up something.
Yeah.
I've never eaten inside a Cheesecake Factory.
Aha.
No kidding.
That's right.
The only time I've ever had Cheesecake Factory food is here.
When
they brought it by.
Before.
Because it's always too crowded.
Yeah.
Just people hanging out in front of it. It looks like they're in line for concert tickets. Yeah.
Here's the cheat is to eat in the bar.
Yep.
Is that it?
Yes, because
you can request that when you go in.
Yeah, if it's a table open, you just go get it. Well, they don't put you on a list for those.
I ordered a chef's outfit online.
Ooh.
And I figure I'll just walk in.
Good way.
Hey Gus.
Yep. Steve, and I also feel like they tell you the wait is an hour and 20 minutes. It's really not.
Is it really? Okay, yeah,
I mean, you might have to wait, but it's good because Urban Outfitters is right across, so you can go shop there.
I'm so excited.
I just found it interesting that the gal grew up in this general area, and it was her first time going to that mall today. Let's find out from her if she enjoyed her experience or
how it went.
She was broke. She was mugged.
Listen, we have to take a break, and the reason being we're trying to stay close to on time today because we are catching a flight. We are on our way to Clearwater, Florida tomorrow for a broadcast from spring training. I would like to give away some movie passes while we take a break. Pacific Rim Uprising, speaking of King of Prussia, the IMAX at UA King of Prussia is where we're doing the screening next Tuesday. You'll need to be there by 7 o'clock. We'll take three callers right now, and we'll put you on that list. 215-263-WMMR, the number. Coming back with some bizarre file stories for you, my friend.
Throughout 2018, MMR celebrates 50 years rockin' Philly. Keep listening for special birthday events and special programming from our long, strange trip together. Every hour this weekend, we highlight 1984, the year MMR turned 16, and the year that gave us This Is Spinal Tap.
These go to 11.
The first commercial CD players, Purple Rain,
and Legend from Bob Marley and the Wailers. While Ghostbusters, The Terminator, and The Karate Kid kicked butt on the movie scene. At MMR, the DJs had new albums from Van Halen, The Pretenders, and U2. Plus Twisted Sister, Bruce Springsteen, Talking Heads, Metallica, Queen, and debuts from Bon Jovi and Red Hot Chili Peppers, and lots more from 1984. Listen all weekend as we highlight another page from our scrapbook of shared musical memories. On 93.3 WMMR, everything that's rocked Philly for 50 amazing years.
I got a text says, can you give a random shout out to the awesome guy, Ryan, who just helped me change my tire in Jackson, New Jersey. I was listening to you guys when I blew out a tire, and I thought the last thing I was going to hear was Steve's laugh. Terrifying. So we can do a shout out for
that.
Yeah. Him. Absolutely. Thanks for being a good Samaritan, Ryan. That was really cool of you.
Does it mention if he was wearing Stetson?
No, it doesn't, because that could have turned into a very special moment.
Been a romantic thing.
Let's do the B5.
Now, WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
B-File this morning is brought to you by Delilah's. Delilah's presents the 2018 Entertainer of the Year, Wednesday, March 21st, with special guest host Brett Rossi. And you can visit Delilahs.com for details. A man dressed as Elsa from Disney's Frozen sprung into action during the Nor'easter, helping a Boston Police Department wagon out of a slippery predicament.
And the footage is fantastic.
Yeah, it went down outside of the Gallows Gastro Pub, and a video taken by a guy named Chris Haynes has generated nearly 2 million views in overnight, like right after he posted
it. It's so cool, Preston, because there's a certain point where Elsa hikes up his skirt because he can get more leverage pushing the... keep watching. And you see... Yeah, he's pushing on the back here, banging, you know, really helping out, really pushing hard.
Yeah.
And then at a certain point, he just kind of moves his skirt up a bit.
So it tweeted out, Sarah McGonigal said, a drag queen dressed as Elsa just single-handedly freed a stuck police wagon from a blizzard in the middle of March.
That's great.
If that sentence doesn't perfectly encapsulate the spirit of Boston, I don't know what does. People Magazine's Megan Johnson tracked down Elsa, identifying him as 37-year-old Boston attorney Jason Triplett, who has posted video of himself in costume outside the snow earlier in the day. And he said, everyone will be over it by noon. But if this is my 15 minutes, I would like to leverage it to meet Adam Rippon. So he threw that out there. I don't know if that's going to happen or not. Probably will. But he's the guy that got out there and dressed as Elsa.
Good for him, man.
To push it along.
It's just him pushing that big vehicle.
Yep. A Kansas family says a mix-up with United Airlines has resulted in their German Shepherd dog being mistakenly flown to Japan.
What the hell is this?
This just after the dog had died the other day.
Yeah, yeah. When I first saw the headlining, I go, oh, here we go again. But it's a little bit better.
Karen Joseph Swindle, along with her children, are in the process of moving from Oregon to Wichita. With her 7-year-old son and 2-year-old daughter, Kara Swindle flew into Kansas City Tuesday on a United Airlines flight. When they arrived, they went to the United Airlines cargo facility to pick up Ergo is their dog, their 10-year-old German Shepherd. Ergo had flown in a kennel on a different United Airlines flight that arrived at 4:30. When the family went to the facility, she discovered a Great Dane instead. She later discovered that due to a mix-up, Ergo had been mistakenly put on a United Airlines flight to Japan.
Were you feeding him?
The Great Dane was scheduled to go to Japan. When the plane landed in Japan, officials were able to locate Ergo. He will see a veterinarian and then will be put on a flight to Wichita.
Yeah, I was wondering when this is all going down, reading the story, if there were quarantine issues.
There are. Yeah. The airline originally told Swindle that because Ergo was on an international flight, the dog might be required to be quarantined to Japan for up to 2 weeks. Swindle said that United didn't know how the mistake happened, but she was told by the airline that the kennels were similar. United Airlines paid for Swindle and her children to stay at a Marriott near the airport Tuesday night. Swindle says now she just hopes that Ergo is okay wherever he is.
And they both had the new Don't Kill stickers.
I have a much worse dog story. An Idaho middle school science teacher who reportedly fed a sick puppy to a snapping turtle in front of his students
okey-dokey.
Remained the subject of a police investigation on Tuesday. The reported incident in Robert Crossland's classroom allegedly happened after school hours on March 7th at Preston Junior High School, east of Boise.
Today we have a special class in mind.
The district said in a statement, Preston School District was made aware of the regrettable circumstance involving some of the biological specimens.
Did any of you know that snapping turtles can eat a puppy? Well, watch.
We emphasize that at no time was the safety of students or staff compromised.
No, but they got to watch a snapping turtle devour a sick puppy. Frankly, I didn't know that's something a snapping turtle could do.
Police said that the dog was alive when it allegedly was presented as a meal for the turtle.
How lovely.
The dog also had an illness at the time of its death, which originally was reported to police by local animal activists and after a teacher told her about the alleged incident.
Today we answer the question, what happens when you put an M80 in a kitten? It's science.
As of Tuesday, Crossland has not been charged or placed on leave.
And they laughed at me when I asked for an organ for the classroom.
when the hit it again, man, I'm telling you.
You like this, children? Do I play well? Today's experiment involves a newborn infant.
Oh, dear Lord.
And a belt sander.
While the district certainly doesn't condone individual actions that may violate district policy or reasonable expectations of behavior, we hope that any errors in judgment made by a teacher in this instance will not cause us to forget the years of care, effort, and passion that the teacher has given to students in Preston School District. So,
for today's experiment, we run a wood planer across a rabbit.
The district also said the event occurred well after students had been dismissed and was not part of any school-directed program.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to make excuses for this.
I know. Come on.
But deputy said...
Feeding a puppy to a snapping turtle?
Said it happened in front of students. Crossland is popular. The teacher is popular amongst the school student body and often has exotic animals in the classroom.
I'm going to kill them all.
A former student said that they claimed that he often fed guinea pigs to snakes and snapping turtles during lessons in class.
I can't tell. That's why I could never, you know, feeding live mice. I know people have snakes. I got it. I know that's what happens in nature. I just couldn't do it.
Steve, there was a guy I went to college with my freshman year. He had a snake, and he was feeding Andromeda was her name.
Yeah.
And he would feed it mice, but he would bash the mice's heads first.
I see. I know, I know in nature. I got it, but I can't do it.
Yeah.
And then finally, police responded to an incident at Seaside High School after a report of a teacher accidentally discharging a firearm in a classroom. That teacher, Dennis Alexander, is also a Seaside Council member and reserve officer for the police department. He was teaching an administration of justice class. He's also a math teacher. But he accidentally discharged his firearm during a lesson while it was pointed at the ceiling. Debris from the ceiling then fell.
Did it fall on his head?
No, it fell on a student.
Okay.
And cut the student. So that's why they have an issue. And they said there might be a bullet fragment there as well. Alexander was believed to have been providing instruction related to public safety awareness. A male student was struck in the neck by debris or fragmentation and was transported to the community hospital for treatment. It was not a bullet, they said, and the injury was not life-threatening. Police are investigating the incident. Alexander has been put on administrative leave from his reserve duties pending the police department's own investigation into the incident. But they won't put the dude who fed the puppy to the
snapping turtle. Leave. That's A-OK.
All right, and there you go. That's what I have for you in the bizarre file. We're going to take a break. I would like to remind you, Bill Murray, first time ever that we've had a chance to interview him. He'll be on the show with cellist Jan Vogler, and they will be in town for a performance at the Academy of Music on April 4th. So that's coming up around 9:30. We'll be back in a second.
The Preston and Steve Show on 93.3 WMMR. Like the podcast, you'll also love it live when you can call in. Weekdays from 6 a.m. to about 10:30 a.m. on the radio at 93.3 WMMR. Or stream the show live via MMR's mobile app.
Forget I knew it.
All right, thanks, Kath. We'll have Bill Murray and cellist Jan Vogler on the program a little bit later on, around 9:30. We're doing that. We're trying to stay on time today because we have to catch a quick flight to Florida on our way to Clearwater to broadcast tomorrow from spring training.
Yes, it's going to be very cool. We've been looking forward to this for forever. But I have to ask you, did you bring your in-flight pillow?
You know what? I did.
Okay.
Just in case. I don't know if I'll use it or not, but I do have it. It's one of the, it's an inflatable donut thingy.
Did you see that one that
doesn't really work?
There's
well.
One that's like, it's called the ostrich.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
It's the dumbest goddamn looking thing. You stick your head and your hands in it.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like you're being absorbed by a creature.
It looks like you can't breathe either.
Yeah.
Listen, if it would help me to get comfortable sleep, I don't give a damn what I look
what
like.
What you look like. You're asleep. Who cares?
Yeah, absolutely. But it doesn't look comfortable.
If we're sitting...
I would have to try it out myself. And yeah, then there's another version of it where you wrap it around your head. You don't lean over. The first version that Steve had mentioned is when you lean over and you lay on like a desk or something like that. But this makes look it, you wrap it around your head and you look like a giant cotton swab with a mouth and a nose.
It looks like you've jammed your head up your own ass.
But it looked that actually looks like that might work for what I need as far as getting sleep.
They should call it the Akbar. That's what it looks like.
Admiral Akbar.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's got two holes on the side up there. It looked like the giant Admiral Akbar eyes. But I when it comes to sleeping, the neck donut thing does not really work for me.
Me neither.
I need something up here on my head as well.
Me too.
You're
and
exactly
that's why
right.
This goofy, dumbass looking thing might actually work.
That's why I was wondering, and that's why I wanted to bring that up because I'd sent that article over to you because there's a science to that whole deal, sleeping properly.
Mm-hmm.
And I also are you one of those people when you have your neck pillow, do you wear it as you're going into the plane?
No. I don't.
I will. Oh,
I see people doing it.
I don't care about that.
I don't know why.
Less to carry.
Thank you, guys.
No, I know it's practical.
Yeah.
It is.
But it's stupid looking. But you know what? I've just and I'm not sleeping. That once I'm sleeping, I don't care what I look like.
Sure.
But walking into the plane, I do have a little concern about how people might perceive me. So I can't put the donut around. Now mine's inflatable, so I can wait till I get in, and then it doesn't take up a whole lot of space. So.
Yeah. Yesterday we were talking off air about whether or not we would be sitting in the aisle or the window or by the window, and there is no way I can ever sleep if I'm on an aisle seat. If I'm on a window seat, I can fall asleep no problem.
Yep.
But some people prefer the aisle for getting in and out, I guess, or use the bathroom or whatever. I can't do that. I can't. I need at least a 5-minute nap.
The aisle does help if you have long legs and have knee problems, because at least you can you can hang one leg out for a little while and stretch out. Depends on how long the flight is. But then, of course, you can't fall asleep like that because they'll run over your leg with the beverage
cart. Break your leg with the beverage cart.
They don't care.
I'm an aisle person. I can't stand the middle. Obviously, nobody really likes it. And I'll take a window if I have to, but I'd rather not.
Do you feel cramped in there?
Yes.
Okay.
I feel cramped, and I want to be able to get out and go to the bathroom if I have to.
Okay.
I think when you're sitting in the middle seat, it allows you the opportunity to hold hands with people on each side of you.
Right.
Which is I'm an aisle person. I used to be the window person because you could lean your head against the bulkhead and kind of wedge against the pillow. You get the back pillow of the chair and the bulkhead, and you kind of get a sort of a weird thing working where you could close your eyes a little bit if you wanted to. But the aisle for me, especially if you need to get up and take a whiz or something.
I also like to look out the window.
Yeah.
I like to look at what's going on the ground. I like to see if I can identify where we are and stuff like that. So I kind of get a kick out of that.
See, but if you're in a window seat, then the people back a few seats can't see you looking at porn while you're in flight.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I think I'm over the scenery. I've done it. I've seen it. So now I just want that aisle seat. But I still feel bad putting the seat back, reclining the seat, two inches
You're
that it goes back.
Yeah, you're absolutely 100%. It is.
I know.
It is not a privilege. It is. It's part and parcel of buying that seat. You can use that all you
right.
want. It's your right.
I do it in stages. I put a little bit so maybe they won't notice. I do a little bit.
I'm in your camp.
20 minutes later, I do a little more.
I know. I know some people just slam it back and that's it. I'll pick a comfortable level where as Preston says, you paid for the ability to do that.
Yeah.
I don't abuse it.
So you just go back a half inch.
Go back. Yeah. About a half inch. It's like Preston, when we flew to Ireland and they for a radio event, and they put us, the biggest people on the plane, against the back bulkhead of the, we could not recline the seat a centimeter.
That's the worst.
Reclining away, Kathy.
I'm with you, man. I like looking out the window. I like looking at the scenery on the ground, but another thing I really like doing, and you don't always get this when you look out the window, when you see a plane coming in the opposite
direction.
It's awesome.
Yeah. It's awesome. If you really keep an eye out, you'll see plenty of planes up there.
Yeah.
And it's a little freaky because you wonder, are we supposed to be this close to another aircraft out here? One of the coolest flights
for
I took.
For those of you know what I'm talking about, yep, that was a near miss.
you don't know how fast you're really going until you pass another plane in the air. You're like, whoa, dude, we're cooking right now.
Last summer, we went to L.A., and I hadn't flown this path ever before. For some reason, it took us a little further up north, and we flew by the Great Lakes. It was awesome.
Yeah.
It was so cool. I clearly spotted Chicago and Milwaukee, and I knew which lakes were which because they're gigantic, but they're small enough to where you can tell by their shape from looking at a map on which lake you're looking at. It's cool.
If you tell me you saw the Edmund Fitzgerald, I'll freak out.
No, I'm dead. Missed it.
Damn it.
Sometimes if you fly overseas, they'll have the map in the plane, and I think that's pretty cool to, like, see exactly where you are, what you're flying over.
Yeah, I agree.
We've never, I mean, I've flown with you, but we've, no, we've traveled together. I'm sorry.
We went to St. Martin. We've flown a few times.
Yeah, because I get into a completely different mode when I, as soon as I get through the security checkpoint.
Start farting.
No, that's me all the time.
Oh.
No, I just kind of, I go and I'm like, all right, don't bother me. I'm just going to put my headphones on.
Oh, really? And we can't talk to you after
we go through
security?
Well, isn't that great?
He actually brings up.
Awesome.
He actually brings up that, to me, that's when I feel I actually enjoy the flights the most because you have no option but to just relax.
Yep.
Yeah.
There's nothing you can do.
Yep.
And that sort of forces me to do that and just, you know, a lot of times that's where I listen to a lot of music or watch a movie. You can really just immerse.
Case, what's your, don't you have a like an in-flight food that you bring with you?
Yeah.
You
buy all the time. What it's peanut M&Ms and Twizzlers.
Yeah. And clams.
Got it.
And clams.
Yeah.
Steve
Little X.
Right.
Some Steve Little X.
Dude, Chickies is there and some people bring it on the flight with them. Yes.
We'll have some Roy Oysters. And we'll stink up the plane. My friend Cheryl is getting on a plane tomorrow, 16 hours to Hawaii. One flight, and
straight there.
Yeah, and which is, I think, the way to do it.
It's like pulling the Band-Aid off. You
I know.
And
I've never been to Hawaii, so I think that I would fly out of Newark if I could and do the direct. But that's a long time to be on one plane.
It's a lot, Nick. Though I tell you what, a little while ago, I took a trip from the Poconos to here, 8 hours.
Right, one car.
I gotta tell you, the time really flew because I was trying to survive.
There were no transfers. Yeah.
What
no
six connections? More hours.
My dad flew to Singapore one time, and he said that was. It was pretty, it was tough.
I mean,
it was long. It was 20 some odd hours.
Oh my
it was crazy.
God.
It was one of the longest
Japan,
flights you can take.
Hong Kong, so enticing. Mm-hmm. Looks phenomenal. I would love to go, but and you can't do 1 week. You'd have to do, you know, a longer run.
Yeah.
But I have
to
say,
there.
Right.
You got to take retirement and stop on the way at a location for a day or two and then get on another flight.
See, my buddy goes to China at least twice a year, probably maybe even like three, four times a year.
It's China.
Yeah, it's China.
China.
And I never knew that I just thought that they went around the world. And no,
they go through it.
No, they go over the North Pole.
A lot
no
of
idea.
People think, you know, latitude-wise and not longitude, that they will fly along those routes as well. But,
that way it keeps the beverages cold.
That's right.
They hang the beer out the window.
Right.
They have a little thing that they hang the beer outside. Yeah.
Well, you know, the plane that carries the luggage also carries refreshments.
How do they get it onto the regular?
Well, you've never seen a Strategic Air Command when they fuel the planes. They actually pump through the soda. And
the longest flight in the world right now is 17 hours and 30 minutes, and it's from Qatar in the Mideast to Auckland, New Zealand. And it's 9,000 plus miles.
All right, here's to Singapore, 17 hours and 15 minutes.
Wow,
that's a long ass flight.
I thought like Qatar was like it's halfway there already.
Yeah, but it's halfway around the world, and then if you're going to Auckland, you're going to the Southern Hemisphere, so that takes a long time.
Yeah, I can handle a lot. I'm okay if I have I can't sleep. That's one thing. I'll take little brief naps.
I can't not sleep.
God bless you. God bless you.
Somebody's got to fly the thing. You know what I mean?
Like, and that's me.
We're just talking about passengers, but no, there's actual human beings
flying
that are flying that are in charge of that.
You just figured that out?
No, I know, but
but that's their job. They do it every day. It's not like this is a special thing, and I'm going to have a cocktail and lay back and relax.
No, but I know what you're saying. Like, it's so long for us, but we're just sitting there. Like, they're working, for that entire time to make sure that everybody who's sitting behind them is safe.
Well, they also trade on and off. They play Jenga. They do things. They say,
oh,
not forget the roll down the window, too.
Uh-huh. Da, 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 I want rock and roll all night!
Dude, I did that the other day.
Did
I, was
you
on,
really?
I was on my way home. I don't know. It might have been from work, and it was just I was dead-ass tired.
I hate being that way.
I rolled down the window and stuck my head out for a little while.
That's right. Like, as a smoker, like, I don't smoke anymore, but, man, you're really, really tired. You just roll the window down, you smoke a cigarette, you're, like, not going to fall asleep that way.
I'll tell you what, though, and it's the truth. When you're to that point where you're having to do all that, it is close to being, like, having a few drinks. You've got to think of it in that way and just pull off. I used to do, when I would do the morning, morning show in New York, and Press, you remember, it's the first time we started working together, and then drive down into the Riverdeck Cafe,
yeah.
Which was you were back at WDRE, and we would throw me out to the club there.
That then you was drive a, back,
and
right?
Then I drive back. Yeah. Oh my God. You think you're good, but you're not good.
Yeah.
But in the pilot situation,
yeah,
I'm sure they have it down, or you hope they have it down to a science.
I've actually slept in Millville many times. Just
quit boasting.
I'm trying not to brag. This is a humble brag. I was going down to Wildwood Crest every single weekend, and I don't know why, man, but like I just get on 55, and I'm like, I'm going to kill somebody. You know what I mean? Like, I'm going to fall asleep. I'm going to run off the road or something. So
kill somebody. That would keep you like awake, that. Though.
Yeah.
That, you know, but at least if you're engaged in that, like, for, as I said before, driving back from the Poconos for 8 hours, the time flew because I, at any point, thought I was going to die.
Wow. But what's our tough flight today? What,
two and a half hours?
That's how you get a deal.
Like, honestly, that's really one of the great things about A, spring training, but B, Florida in general. Like, it's easy to get there. It's a direct flight. We're leaving at noon. We could be on the beach in theory by like 4 o'clock.
Freezing to death.
I know you don't want to talk to anybody, Case, but are we both watching Pitch Perfect 3 on our flight there?
Okay, that's another thing. I downloaded mine onto my computer. How do I get it to a point where I can watch it where my computer's offline?
You have to down... Wait, you did you download it to the computer.
I downloaded it to the website.
No. You have to download it to the computer.
Son of a bitch.
You can do it here. I did mine last night.
Takes 5 seconds. Well, it won't take 5 seconds, but you actually download it to your hard drive.
Well, yeah. I also just...
turned away from the microphone.
Got this in the mail.
Ooh.
What is it? Star Wars... Last Jedi.
Wow.
Yeah, so I'm gonna watch this too.
Do you have a DVD player?
No, but it's got a digital thing in there.
Oh, you're not gonna give it to me.
You can't watch both.
I can't.
So Pitch Perfect or Star Wars?
Yeah. Well,
one there, one on the way home.
One on the way home.
Okay.
So whoever wants to switch with me, I'll watch one, and you get my computer, and then we'll switch. And you know,
how did you end up being the only one of us that got a copy of that?
Because I'm on the Disney list, man. You know what I'm saying?
We usually, Casey, nicely enough, gives me the digital code. He takes the DVD, and I get the digital code.
Not this time, slut.
No, but when you fly, it was one other movie, too. I think it was a Despicable Me movie.
It might have been.
That he didn't give me, so I'm still bummed about that.
But. Sorry. I want to go to Brad real quick, because he has something that occurs every time he flies. Hey, Brad, good morning.
Yay, sorry to bother you at work.
It's okay. Right. What's up, Brad?
Not much. I was wondering, do you guys ever get the craving, like when you're on a plane, for Bloody Marys?
For Bloody Marys. Yes. Not always. No, but I do have, I don't know why.
Fettuccine.
No, but I always order ginger ale when I'm on a flight.
When you're on a plane?
Yeah. I don't know why.
If
I'm drinking, it's a different story. I'll usually get some whiskey or something like that. But
yeah, I don't know why it is. I never cared for Bloody Marys much until I was on a plane and I just, you know, tried it on a lark.
Planes? Kind of, you know what I mean?
Yes.
It can cause you to crave 100%. Certain things.
It's like you're pregnant.
Yeah.
You're it's kind of like I crave being pregnant. Yeah.
Yeah. So, Brad.
I didn't get that. But
normally, you never have Bloody Marys, but on a plane, that's your go-to. Oh.
Well, I'll tell you what. I never used to, but I found myself really gravitating towards them one time. And now I actually do quite a bit more often. But if it wasn't for being on planes, I never would have even bothered trying them.
Interesting.
You're actually making my mouth water right now, Brad. And now I'm craving one.
Yeah, they're like a meal, aren't they? They're like more than a drink.
Yeah. I can only have one, though.
Thanks, Brad.
I've never really cared. I don't like going to the bathroom while I'm on the plane. I like to just park myself in the seat. And so
go to the bathroom
never,
there.
Listen, I haven't... drank alcohol in a long time, years. And but when I did drink, I would do like a shot of tequila or something like that.
So I didn't
have to like pee on the plane. I just never really cared for it.
Yeah. Oh, so you wouldn't get beer or something like that would cause you to go to the bathroom. You would just go for something less volume, but the same amount of kick to it.
Right.
Interesting.
When you first started traveling on planes and you'd go to the bathroom, and you know everyone encounters that one time where the door sticks, you know, in the bathroom. Oh no!
Well, not only that, especially earlier. Yeah. When you first go on a plane, I played with everything in the bathroom.
Sure.
Oh, here's some tissue paper. I don't need, but I'll pull some out of that little container anyway. And remember, they used to have little spots where you could deposit your razors and things like that
for in-flight shaving, which is always a wise idea, as depicted in Airplane.
Right.
When the guy's trying to shave in the flight. Yeah, no, it's weird because, you know, listen, we're not extraordinarily large guys. I mean, we're bigger guys, but, that bathroom is ridiculous.
Yeah, it's tiny.
I don't like flushing the toilet in those things.
They're loud.
They're loud, and I feel like I'm going to get sucked out of the plane.
Okay.
Yeah. Are you sitting on it when you flush?
No, just, you know, it's usually got a little push button when you're done. I don't know.
So you have this vision that it's going to suck not only all the air out of the room, but you as well.
Yeah.
Into it. I never thought it was that bad, but.
No, I mean, if you're standing up and you push the button, that would be an inordinately extreme amount of suction.
It's an irrational fear.
It's a bizarre delay, though. You hit the button and it goes.
Yeah.
And then it goes.
Someone just flushed the toilet.
Yeah.
Steve, I know what the answer to this question is for you, but have the rest of you guys ever been drunk on a plane?
And
how did you feel? I feel like if that happens to me, I get much drunker. And I don't know if it's because I'm just feeling that way or because it's actually, you know, high altitudes or what?
I tend to feel, if I really tie one on a plane, I feel crappier.
Yeah.
Post.
Yes.
Me too.
Alcohol.
Do you think that's because of the oxygen mix? Pressurized situation?
Maybe. Because there is a slight difference in pressure. You'll notice it if you have... if you have like a bag of something like a chips or something like that, it'll become inflated.
Really?
When you go because there's less air pressure and the what's inside the bag has less pressure against it and pushes out. So if you have like that's why if when you open up creamers, when they bring them to you on a plane, you'll notice that the top is exactly the top is bowed up a little bit because there's less pressure, a little bit less.
Your
pressure.
Testicles get a little bit larger, just a little bit
plumpier. If you will, that's
excuse
the word.
Excuse me, my testicles have gotten plumpier.
Do you always
I
get
need
a,
to lance them?
Do you always get a beverage?
Yes, even if I'm not thirsty.
Even if you're not,
I never.
Oh, now you've hit on a topic. So, for some reason, when they say in a few minutes our air staff is going to be around offering you boxes of sand and mustard,
yeah,
I got to get one. Yeah, I got to get one.
I want the box.
Uh-huh. I never do.
So I go, oh god damn it! Are you going to finish your sand?
If I'm on a flight that has an in-flight meal, I will eat everything they bring me,
even if it's
everything.
Not good. Even if I really
don't care for it. Everything.
I'll use the butter on something that doesn't even need butter on it.
What if I never eat again? Yeah. In my 8-hour trip from the Poconos, I was literally putting together a survival kit in a Sunoco. This would keep.
Mm-hmm. Preston, I'll take the little salt packet and put it on the salad. I'm
sure.
Like, yeah.
I will have salt. Yep. And then the dessert, I don't care.
No.
Yeah.
This is disgusting.
Everything.
Anyway. Ooh, a little pepper on my fruit salad.
Yeah. We don't know when we're going to get the chance to eat again.
Oh my god. I had a friend once who had some friends flying in to stay with her, and they didn't finish their in-flight meal, and they brought it to my friend's house and put it in their refrigerator.
No.
Was like, she took a picture of it and sent it to me. She goes, what, did she think I didn't get food for them?
what the in-flight meal in the context and the environment of a plane, where you're trapped and can't go to any other place to eat, it makes sense. In the real world, you might as well be having prison chichi.
Yeah, no, you're right. Yeah. You're absolutely right. And when you take an international flight, you get a little bit more. So we went to Sweden over the summer, and on the way back, you know, they were offering, coffee and tea and all kinds of stuff. They come by and pour you some. I took every damn bit of that. I really didn't like tea that much.
If you are doing, and you can do it a first class now and then,
and they come out and they do the real deal. And
yeah.
Then, and then the they give this the class that. Right through the.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Here. What? Are you done with this? We're going to take it back to the other passengers. I remember flying years ago, and they had pictures of it. They sometimes pop them up as an internet meme, you know, on American Airlines and like full table settings. I mean, like,
really?
Yes, with and they as a kid, of course, I would always get the hamburger, full burger with steak fries and stuff like that. It was glorious.
Back when I flew to Cancun in '93, you were still allowed to smoke on planes.
Oh my gosh,
they had ashtrays in your little armrest, and you could smoke on a plane.
Yeah, I mean it's wild to think of the time when you like on a 747 you used to be able to go up to that bar,
yeah,
up a you know a spiral staircase. Yeah. Walk around, and you know they so discourage that now.
Steve, years ago, Dennis, my brother, and my brother's friend flew to London, and there was some sort of mix-up in their reservation, and the three of them got bumped to first class.
They must have been ecstatic.
My brother and his friend were in college at the time, so they like had no idea. But it was the newer plane, so they had the full layout that like you know reclines almost to a bed.
It's amazing.
They had a wine menu. They had a dinner menu. They were sending me pictures. My brother got steak and a glass of red wine.
Well, oh it's a difference of like, would you like some? We have some warm cinnamon rolls. And then they come over and they actually move your jaw up and down for you. Yeah. Is that too much pressure?
You know what's interesting is our two guests we're going to have on later on, Bill Murray and Jan Vogler, they met on an airplane.
Oh, really?
They initially met in security, in line security, because he was carrying a cello, Jan Vogler was, and Murray was like, are you going to... They're going to let you check that? You know?
Right, yeah.
And so it started a conversation. Then they ended up being on the same plane together. I assume they were both in first class. And they hit it off. And that's where their friendship started. And it led to this collaboration that they have now.
How willing are you to...
Not.
Yeah.
To what?
Engage
talk
in
to people.
Phone.
Talk to anyone.
On the plane. Uh-huh. Yeah. There have been occasions because the moment they start the conversation... you have an opportunity to end it, maybe, unless it's one of those people. But I have met a couple of really nice people and talked about golf or whatever and
sure.
talked for like 2.5-3 hours. But there's no comfortable way to stop a conversation once it starts. There's no way to just say, I'm going to read now.
Yeah, you know? I'm done with you now.
I'm done talking to you now. What is the move?
Shut the f*** up!
What?
It's this.
The headphones on your head.
Headphones on.
Well, right away.
As soon as you sit down.
Yeah, you got to put them on
or,
right away.
Nick,
yeah.
Even if you don't have headphones, just go pretend like...
Yeah.
Put fake headphones on.
And act like you're taking a phone call.
I'm sorry, I
got to
take this. Yeah. I just met a very nice... He says hi.
Steve has his thumb and pinky up to his mouth like it's a phone.
Oh, my God, that's great. I'm an uncle.
Steve, you talk about, you know, the privilege of first class. At some point in my life, I would love to do one of those pods where you, like, lean back or you have, like, the sleeping quarter.
Which airline is it that Jennifer Aniston did where they had...
Listen, is it Qatar Airlines?
United Emirates. Which is very cool. Listen, here's what I say, is if you're going to take a trip to some place you've always wanted to go to and you can do it because it's exorbitant to fly first class... But if you can do it and you arrive, then you don't lose a day of grogginess where you can't get your faculties back together. So in a way, it's a wise investment. But for the people who fly first class to Boston.
Right.
I did that because it was $45 extra, and I'm like, okay.
It's like,
I can afford $45.
What more are you getting?
Right. As opposed to the extra $2,000 when you're flying to, you know, to L.A. or something like that.
It's just crazy.
It is insane.
I used to get the bump up all the time because my dad years ago flew so many miles. He was in all these clubs, these airline clubs.
Yeah.
And so you get those deals.
Sign up for those things, man.
They're good.
The bonus structures.
Yeah.
You may only be able to, if you don't fly very much, you only may redeem it one time. But getting that bump up on that one flight can be fun.
That's how I ended up sitting behind Jack Lord when we flew to Hawaii.
My goodness.
No way. Yes,
really?
Absolutely. Wow.
From Hawaii 5-0?
Hawaii 5-0.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Wrong Hawaii. There we go.
Hawk is right next to the
you,
Hawaii
5-0. Mr. Lord, theme. You have wings. I've never noticed that.
All right. Listen, we do need to take a break, and the reason that we got caught in this conversation is we're taking a flight immediately after the show, and we have to kind of hightail it to the airport, and if we hit any traffic, we'll be pulling a Pierre Robert.
I'll die.
We don't want to do that, so we're going to take a break. We'll come back in a second. But as I said, yeah, Bill Murray and Jan Vogler on the program a little bit later on this morning. We'll our friends from Maggie's Waterfront Cafe, I've been told.
They're here.
So So I do have a $50 Maggie's Waterfront Cafe gift card that I can give away. I'll take caller number 18 at 215-263-WMMR. And some things to tell you about Maggie's Waterfront Cafe. They're located right on the waterfront, right on the Delaware River. Breathtaking views. They're home of the best craft beer selection with 42 different beers on tap. Visit Maggie'sWaterfront.com. But caller 18 will set you up with that $50 gift card. 215-263-WMMR.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Hey, it's Preston. Listen, when I want to relax, I go to Hand & Stone Massage Facial Spa. Listen, whether you want a rejuvenating massage or refreshing facial, Hand & Stone is the place to go. Introductory massages or facials start at just $59.95. Visit handandstone.com or one of their 50 locations in the Delaware Valley. Restrictions apply. See spa for details.
French Creek Outfitters in Phoenixville has everything you need for the great outdoors and beyond. All the big-name brands, they have them. Visit FrenchCreekOutfitters.com for additional info. French Creek Outfitters, why take a chance with anybody else?
Are you ready for love? Well, Steven Singer Jewelers has hand-picked diamonds paired with beautiful mountings to create a stunning engagement ring that's ready to go right now. Check out his Ready for Love diamond engagement ring collection online at IHateStevenSinger.com and have it shipped immediately for free, all at the perfect price. One place, one price. Steven Singer Jewelers.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Steve, do you have one of these sliders from Maggie's?
I am lost in my slider.
It's really, really good. They have it's made with Guinness cheese.
Is that what that is?
Yes, and some Jack Daniel's barbecue sauce.
Huh.
Hattie-ho.
What the hell am I doing without one of these?
I know. You got to go get one of these. All and right. They also threw some bacon on there for good measure. And they also brought Guinness beefs, too. So they have St. Paddy's Day Saturday. Big party at Maggie's Waterfront Cafe. Open at 11 a.m. Irish music, dancers, food, chance to win a trip for two to Ireland as well. And Brent Porsche will be broadcasting live from 3 to 7 p.m. So MMR in the house.
And the name shows it's authentic.
It does. Yes, absolutely. So anyhow, we are kind of shifting our times and making sure that we're going to be on time today because we do have a flight to catch. It was that extended conversation we had about flying just a little while ago. So we're going to get to things a little bit earlier than usual because we got to make it there in time to catch our plane. Bill Murray and Jan Vogler going to be joining us in just a little while.
We have to work that big time. If we can get Bill Murray in the studio, that'd be awesome.
It would be awesome. And they're going to be playing April 4th at the Kimmel Center or at the Academy of Music Kimmel Center. So heads up on that. We'll talk to them a little bit. But I do have some other things. I have noticed a few things online.
Oh, my God.
Would like me to...
He's back. He's done eating his donuts and sliders, and now he's ready to notice again.
Yeah.
The Noticer takes center stage for the Noticer.
All right.
He is the Noticer.
I am
the Noticer, presented by the Preston and Steve Show.
That is correct. I'm going to get to this story that I noticed. Steve, I sent you a link to it. It's really, really lengthy. I don't know if you had a chance to see it. But,
what's the subject matter?
It's a woman named Teal Swan.
Yes, you did. The cult. Yeah. Chick. Yeah, you told me about it, and I'm pretty up on my cults. You know, I kind of dabble in cults. Hmm. But I'd not heard of her, and the fact that she almost looks like a model
is bizarre. So this was a description, and this is what kind of drew me in to take a closer look at this woman. She is an emerging cult leader, claims that she is a multidimensional Acturian alien working with 11 other aliens in an intergalactic Greenpeace type of organization.
Same old story.
She says she has X-ray vision and hearing, that she can inject herself into people's brain stems and revive them, and can hear tectonic plates moving.
Yeah.
She has a massive following, many of whom are called Tealers, and they tattoo themselves with her symbol. Now, Teal claims that suicide is a reset button.
Okay.
And that death is delicious. And at least two of her followers have already committed suicide.
Did they report it was delicious?
Teal also claims, listen to this, to have suffered 13 years of abuse in a child-murdering Mormon satanic cult where she was routinely tortured and sewn into a corpse for 12 hours and made to torture other children. So I'm like, all right, I'm in. I got to see more about this.
And where do we sign up?
I watched a few videos of her, and she's an attractive woman.
She is.
And she loves getting dressed up and dressing sexy and wearing high heels and all this stuff. This is part of what she enjoys.
Do you think a lot of this is, you know, how you put up with Burnt Rubber Girl because she was hot?
She's talking about the being sewn in the body thing. Yeah, yeah, but goddamn, look at her.
And she even, I watched one of her videos that talked about her being attractive. And the reason that she is attractive is that the aliens wanted her to appeal to a wide array of people.
Makes sense.
So that's why they made her body attractive like this.
The aliens aren't stupid. You can see the spaceships they fly in. Just watch Independence Day.
Dude, it is just certifiable, insane nonsense.
So who's more insane? The insane person or the insane person who follows the insane person?
I think the people that following someone like this is maybe has some mental illness of their own, but of a different kind. They're searching for some type of a meaning, and all of a sudden,
love in all the wrong places.
What this person says to them speaks to them. They also believe what a lot of people say, and I feel really bad for them. Steve, you see some of these people that have gone into cults and fallen into this and eventually gotten out and realized what went on, and they were like, I was at a time in my life.
That's always it.
Where I needed help. I was lost. I needed some kind of a direction, and I found this.
They were susceptible.
Yeah,
and they were, and these
Scientology
people,
does a lot.
Right,
of that.
Who do this know how to target those people.
Well, when I went to a lot of Phish concerts in my early 20s, and there were, and listen, there's a lot of hallucinogens that are being eaten or taken at these places, and people are trying to get to a higher plane or whatever. You know, it's
doing funny things and smoking funny.
A lot of times it's not necessarily just, I mean, it is all about like feeling effed up, but sometimes the people are literally searching for something bigger and meaning. And so the point I'm trying to make here is I've been to several of these concerts where there are essentially these cults that kind of hang out afterwards, and they hand out their pamphlets and these people that they live in these communes. Is that what they're called?
Yes, communes? Yeah, sure.
Yeah, there was one in particular in North Carolina where it's like you can be free and, you know, do whatever. I'm like, you know, all right, here, let me take a look at your pamphlet here, and you know that whole brochure.
By the way, it's not always that. I saw a documentary on a guy, and I forget the name of it. It's available on Apple TV and Netflix. This guy, this sort of charismatic, model-y looking guy, who appealed to, they were lawyers and doctors and people who were successful and who were not, you know, they were not specifically at a crossroads where they were having issues. They just wanted something more, and he knew how to play it and feed into it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If a couple of people are asking text-wise, who are we talking about? It's a woman named Teal Swan.
Stop looking at me, Swan.
And I guess
that's one of her priests.
They call them Tealers. By the way, somebody texted and said, go to Netflix and watch the show Push. You guys would love it. It's about following others. Is it bad?
Well, so Chuck and I watched it. Yeah. Yeah. Somebody else has got to take their journey to, you know, I don't want
to. This is where they see if a guy will get to the point of murder, correct?
Yes, exactly.
It's
garbage. It's absolute garbage.
All right. Then that's not what I'm thinking of. There's another show that's on Netflix that is about a cult and a cult leader and this guy falling into it. I thought it was that.
Okay.
Okay. Never mind. Scratch that. Moving on. So a former close friend describes how great of an actress Teal is. This is somebody who knew her before all this. She says, I was able to see what Teal was doing from very early on. It didn't take long to notice how every piece of her life is carefully calculated. Her friendships, her interactions, her reasoning behind everything she does, her voice and every movement. It is designed to draw you in. It's to captivate you. She makes you believe that she is inside your head. She makes you believe that she is seeing the truth. The truth is, she likes the control and the power of other people. She said, Teal told me that her cat, Cosmos, was actually a holographic soul projection from the planet Sirius, and he had been sending me telepathic images of my pancreas to tell me that my blood sugar was off.
Oh, man, my cats don't do anything like that.
And you know what? And watching some of these videos as well, if someone says something, and they do it convincingly enough, as if they themselves have no doubt in their minds that this is absolute truth, some people will listen to it.
Well, and it also, if you're going to go outlandish, go way outlandish.
Preston,
my name is Ghidorah, and I can see your bladder. Yeah. It's telling me you will, and you get into like that sort of thing, people, well, I mean, this is so crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the dude's onto something.
Yeah.
There was a woman named Jay-Z Knight years ago who, she was the one who did the trans-channeling, they called it. And she would get this, Rantha was the old prophet from like 1,000 years ago. And she would, you know, she'd sit down and suddenly, you know, she almost talked like Yoda, you know, that was her spiel. And the gibberish that she would be espousing to roomfuls of applauding people, mm-hmm. which is crazy, but they were all, there was sort of a groupthink that was taking hold of them.
All right, somebody texting us, The Path is the name of the show
on Hulu,
yeah.
All right, and so what's Sprout?
Here's another, that's Children's Network. All right, so this is another close friend talking about Teal's mental state. They said being around Teal was like being in a never-ending trauma cycle. Her emotions were always rapidly shifting. For instance, one minute she was giddy doing cartwheels in the park, and then 15 minutes later on the drive home, she became despondent after claiming to have seen on the side of the road the ghost of a person who was traumatically killed in a car accident.
Mm.
She acted depressed, claiming to have gone out of body to help the ghost cross over. And as soon as you question her, the mind games begin. And if that doesn't work, you are out. You cannot question Teal. She sees you and knows you better than you know yourself. Even if all you want is the truth, even if you would never judge her, no matter the truth. The only problem is the lies are becoming much worse and more manipulative.
How many followers?
I don't know how many. Probably thousands. And she has actually moved her operation to Costa Rica,
yeah.
I read. And people move down there, and you know it's like the Jim Jones thing.
Sure,
they relocate,
yeah.
And they go to wherever they're told, and this is where we'll be able to, you know, have our community of people. And it's just bizarre, man. I don't know how they fall into this.
Yeah, Steve, the cult leader that you were talking about, because I watched a lot of that documentary. He got chased out of places when he started to get figured out in one place. He's like, all right, we're moving to Texas.
And, yep. And then they found him. Mm-hmm. The last time they found him in Hawaii.
Yeah.
And he had about 50 people, like they were shopping at a strip mall, Preston, but they were all surrounding him, and he still had followers.
It's
even though he was exposed in every way possible, yeah. Didn't matter.
You want to be entertained? Look up this woman, Teal Swan, and just take in the crazy. Because I believe some people are flat out just manipulating others, I do believe that some people kind of buy a little bit of their own crap as
yes.
well.
Oh, after a while,
and are crazy.
Yeah, of course.
But they're also taking advantage of people left and right. And this woman's and the real dangerous thing is she talks about death being delicious and suicide being a reset button.
Yeah. Oh.
So maybe she's going to get a bunch of money from people and then they start killing themselves and then she doesn't have to worry about that anymore. You know what I mean?
I wonder if she convinces them to have her. As a beneficiary in the will?
Yeah, maybe. You never know. All right, anyhow, that's one of the things I notice. It's just trippy.
The noticer noticed something crazy.
Yeah.
What will the noticer notice next?
There are many things that I've been noticing.
The noticer seems confused.
Oh, I noticed this. You ever notice when you are on your laptop and you're working on some stuff and you happen to be eating at the same time, which a
yes.
lot of times I will eat and work on the laptop, you can get crumbs in your keyboard.
I do, yeah. Occasionally,
well,
and I hate myself for it.
Apple is working on a keyboard that is crumb resistant. A freshly submitted patent application from the company shows a number of methods to keep dirt out, including the use of gaskets, brushes, wipers, and flaps to seal gaps. I'm sorry.
Sounds like an S&M parlor.
The company also suggests a membrane beneath each key.
That's insane.
And a bellows effect, which forces air through the keyboard each time a key is pressed, pushing out icky stuff in the process.
The Apple keyboard that goes with the iPad is similar to crumb-free. The first one I have, unless I'm misremembering, didn't have any openings around the keys. Like, they were a standard keyboard, but it didn't give you those cracks that allow you to get the crumbs in them.
Yeah, my computer is very small, but there is a small gap there.
Do you ever get a crumb like in the letter T or something?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's like, son of a bitch,
yeah.
I want to write Tuttle.
Mm-hmm.
Do you, you know, you'll get some iPad or, you know, like a Surface or whatever where there is no tactile sensation when tapping on the keyboard?
Yes.
I don't care for that. So I like having something that's raised up to feel... Yep.
Well, they're even going so far, Nick, as to have you will get that tactile sensation on the screen.
Really?
It was something that was supposed to be introduced 2 or 3 iterations ago with the iPhone and the iPad, where you will notice surface differences and you will feel a click.
All right, that's cool.
But it'll be the screen.
Because, you know, I learned how to type in typing class.
Yes.
You know, and there's an actual keyboard, but I'm wondering how my son will type and if it'll just be more thumb-related than using your entire hand.
Do you know that they don't need to even offer typing classes anymore? Because you're growing up with a keypad around your house.
That makes sense.
So you don't need it. When we were going to school, you took with a typewriter, you took that class, it taught you, you know, the proper place to place your hands and everything.
To that point, though, yeah. In other words, would the interns, would someone who's 16 know classic typing, a QWERTY keyboard and the proper way to type with it?
I mean, it's like penmanship. You still have to teach them how to write the letters, the actual letter.
They have those classes in high school?
Oh, I don't, not what? In high school, but when they're young, in elementary school.
No, I'm just saying with the classes offered at public school, one of them was typing.
It was typing,
yeah. I know, that's what I'm saying. I think they still need it because you still need to know the rhythm. You still need to know how to do it.
I'm wondering if they still have it. I've heard they don't.
So. I mean, you can teach typing and that's fine, but I think you're going to default to whatever you're most comfortable with anyway. You know, like
the Hunt and Peck thing.
Yeah,
I was taught, and I still do it.
I know, but like Jim Antes, for instance, have you ever seen him type?
Is that a Hunt and Peck guy?
He is our general sales manager, and he uses his whole left hand and then his right index finger, and that's how he types.
All right,
and
I've seen people that just use the two index fingers
and fast.
Yeah.
It's hilarious to watch, Marissa.
Going back to cleaning out the keyboards, I actually find it very soothing, kind of like getting a nice piece of earwax out. Have you ever turned over your keyboard and dumped out all the dirt that's in it?
No.
Can we do it to your keyboard that's right here?
Yeah. Go. I don't think. That keyboard.
This? Oh,
yeah. Oh, my God. Tons. This is an old.
Oh, my God.
Oh, gross.
It's a Microsoft keyboard here.
It's going to be bad.
Really?
Ooh. Okay. Wow.
Oh, there's a fingernail filling.
You little slimy bastard.
No!
You fingernail fell out.
Oh, that's disgusting.
Oh, burn it.
Oh, my God. Preston, that's a pubic hair.
Oh, my God.
That's great.
I don't want to hit any of the keys here.
Marissa ran away from the microphone.
Jesus.
Hit it. Yeah.
And
then come up this way.
And then you can open up a paperclip and stick it in between the keys and get out the dust.
Okay. Well, you use the compressed air.
Yes.
That blows it out, but good.
I mean, despite the fingernail, that's not as bad as I thought it was going to be.
Okay.
Well, a bloody tampon?
Ew!
Preston!
How'd that get there?
I know you're not supposed to flush them. What do you want me to do with them, man?
Stick them in your keyboard.
Yeah. Okay. All right, that was one of the things
I noticed. My space bar isn't working.
What else? Oh, do we have to wrap it up?
You can
is
do
it
one
more time for the noticer?
Let me, yeah, one more
time. Little guy.
Noticer notices a little guy.
All right. the sounds of New York are bold and brash and definitely loud, but romantic?
Sounds crazy, doesn't
it? It does. People from France and Italy who actually speak the Romance languages say that New York accents are the most seductive in our nation.
Oh, gosh.
So people from France and Italy. Of the various ones.
You look
so
very pretty. I want to see you cooter.
Yes. For real?
Oh, my God. I'm swooning.
New Yorkers beat out the Southern drawl, the Bostonian tone, and Midwestern modulation, according to a new study from the language app Babbel. They spoke to hundreds of hostel workers across Europe, and 57% of French employees and 19% of those who are Italian enjoy the accents of New York.
I'm surprised that Philadelphia accents don't push their buttons.
But
yeah, but if compared to those others, I would pick New York too.
Compared to Boston and Southern and Midwestern,
yeah.
Okay.
I like the Southern accent. I mean, but I'm.
I do like the Southern. I like a lilting Southern accent.
Mm-hmm.
Can be most enticing.
So I had to
like Harper Lee's sister.
Well, I had to. I was doing something for my wife's cell phone, and I ended up calling the helpline, and I got a woman from North Carolina. And I could have talked to her all day, you know, and she probably sounded like she was maybe in her 50s or something like that. And she said, oh, bless your heart. And I was like, oh, my gosh.
I love you.
I'm so wet.
I'm so wet.
Yeah. I just loved it.
I spoke to a woman on the phone. I was making reservations for a trip later this year, and I had to speak to her for a while. While she didn't have an accent, she did do the vocal fry thing quite a bit. And it wasn't Kardashian level, But I found I actually liked it.
You do?
She was like, okay, let's see what we got here.
Yeah.
You're coming in on the 5th.
A little Lumberg like.
You know, kind of like that. Well, I'm exaggerating a little bit, but she would, every time she'd go, anyway, it was nice.
My visceral reaction to someone with a Boston or New England accent is to laugh. I find it just odd, and I don't. It's probably insulting on some levels, but I can't not. I giggle every time.
Yeah. It's not hot.
No,
it's not. I like it though. I do like the accent a lot.
But when I hear Brett Brown, for example, speak, you know, it's automatically comedic to me.
For the Swedes, though, they're not into it. They say New Yorkers have the least attractive accent. Those not from Romance-speaking countries, especially the Irish, say that it's the Southern accent that has the most sultry sound.
Well, the Southern accent and the Irish accent have tonal similarities.
A little bit, yeah. And German and Spaniards, they like, apparently they like the Boston language, believe it or not.
The Boston dialect?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Not language, I'm sorry. Yeah, the Boston accent, if you will. So Germans and Spaniards think that's wicked awesome. I would never have pegged New York, though.
No, it's always pointed to as one of the more abrasive.
Yeah. Coming from the Midwest, I think we have a more bland non-accent, you know what I mean? There's
a lot of dirk.
Yeah, right. Yeah. No, but then again, you get the movie like Fargo, and that's considered like upper Midwest.
Yes.
And then you know that whole thing, almost Canadian, kind of comes into play a little bit. But I never would have pegged New York or Boston to be considered sexy accents. But then again, there are some people
to each his own.
Find it that way. Yeah. All right, Casey's telling me we do need to break up the noticer. So that's all.
Noticer has to break up.
Yeah. We are going to have Bill Murray on the show in just a little bit, along with
cool.
the cellist Jan Vogler. But Maggie's Waterfront Cafe is here. They're feeding us this morning, and they're also feeding you. They have a big St. Patrick's Day party that's going on this weekend. I have a $50 gift card. You can take that with you and go tear it up on St. Patrick's Day. So I'll take caller number 10, 215-263-WMMR. Don't forget, they are also the perfect place to celebrate your next occasion. Their catering service is second to none. A choice of up to 3 rooms to throw your next celebration. We had a mixer there one time.
We did.
Great time. It's call number 10, 215-263-WMMR. We're going to take care of you. And we'll be back in just a moment. Stay there.
50 years of live music as captured by 93.3 WMMR.
Thank you so much for coming.
Introducing live from the MM Archives.
Welcome to the show.
Weekdays at 1:30, Pierre Robert presents one of our 50 favorite live songs captured live over the years from the MMR studios or during live broadcast from the Tower, Factory, and Ardmore Music Hall. We'll dig through the intimate fan experiences hosted by MMR from Sigma Sound, Grape Street, the Ripley and Bijou Cafe, and the Main Point.
Everybody ready to rock?
Yes!
So, we live for the rock.
Live from the MM Archives, daily at 1:30. Encores with Jackson at 5:30 and 9:30 with Jackie Bam Bam. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks. Now, WMMR presents Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
And it is brought to you this morning by Scruples Gentlemen's Club. Looking to party with the hottest girls in Bucks County? Then come party with the ladies of Scruples Gentlemen's Club. And you can enjoy happy hour specials and visit gotscruples.com for more information. So a power grid manager accidentally broadcast himself banging a junior colleague when he forgot to hang up his video conference call in one of the conference rooms.
Oh, that's bad, yeah.
Based on WeChat conversation screen caps, the manager of China's Southern Power Grid filmed himself having sex with his colleague in a conference room minutes after a call earlier that morning, which was attended by employees from 5 different provinces.
And he got a raise.
After the meeting was adjourned for a break, the manager allegedly decided to make use of the now empty conference room at the company's headquarters. The footage first leaked on Saturday, but has now been scrubbed from social media by Chinese censors. Two employees have since been arrested and faced defamation charges as well as further punishment for spreading false rumors after they allegedly shared the footage.
When I engage in sex at home, I shut down all my webcams just in case.
The manager has been identified on some social media channels, but claims that he is being deliberately framed and vowed to file libel lawsuits.
Ooh.
Two Chinese state-owned electricity provider employees were arrested as well. The suspects, a man surnamed Tang and a woman surnamed Wang, face defamation charges as well as further punishment for spreading false rumors after they allegedly shared the footage. So they're getting in trouble.
History here has taught us that the conference room is probably the safest place to have sex.
It's happened. Three thieves were caught with 52 Yeti coolers that were worth more than $16,000 in New Orleans.
Yep.
They are expensive.
52 Yeti coolers, 16 grand.
Yep. Wow. Officers with the Houston Police Department contacted the New Orleans Police Department to inform them that a trio of suspects and dozens of reported thefts of the high-end coolers were in New Orleans. Officers began searching for the suspects and found 29-year-old Demetrius Johnson standing outside of a hotel loading a Yeti cooler into a trailer filled with over 40 others. About a dozen more coolers were recovered. Johnson, along with Anthony Jackson and Leon Gamble, had been targeting a national sporting goods retailer. 32 coolers were stolen in Louisiana, 20 were stolen in Texas, and the three men were arrested and charged with possession of stolen property.
Son, you got a Yeti problem.
I'm guessing it's probably Dick's. They have a really big Yeti display.
Do they?
Yeah. They have a whole bunch of the coolers there. But yeah, the bigger ones, really expensive.
God almighty.
A woman now convicted of trying to arrange to have her ex-husband murdered, who was previously charged with seeking a second hitman while in jail, was charged yet again on Friday with trying to hire a third hitman.
So are all the hitmen assassinating the hitmen before them, or are they all going after the husband?
Not just the husband, actually other people. So the stunning charges against Linda Tracy Gilman, who's 70 years old, by the way, were filed on the same day a jury began deliberating her initial case. She was found guilty Friday afternoon of one count of criminal solicitation, a first-degree felony, but was acquitted of a second count.
What was she using, Angie's List?
The Salt Lake County District Attorney Sam Gill said, "I've never seen anything like it." Early last year, Gilman was charged with two counts of criminal solicitation, a first-degree felony for allegedly asking one of her employees, a man who also rents a condominium from her, if he could arrange to have her ex-husband, Mr. D. Gilman, killed. She allegedly gave the man $5,000, promised him 10 grand more once her ex-husband and his current wife were dead, and she collected her ex-husband's life insurance. Gilman was married to Dwayne Gilman. The plan was for the acquaintance to hire a third person to carry out the murder and to make it look like Dwayne Gilman died of a drug overdose. Instead, the man went to police, and Gilman was arrested. Well, then, in June, Gilman was charged with attempted obstruction of justice. Police say when she was in jail, she approached another inmate who she thought was affiliated with a white supremacist gang. Gilman referred to herself as the bank and said that she could make everything happen if he would take care of the man who went to police in the first case.
See, it all starts collapsing in on itself.
And Gilman said that if somehow the man ended up dead or disappearing, then I would walk out of here a free woman. She also allegedly said that if the man disappeared, it would make all her dreams come true. That case was eventually dismissed due to problems with a witness. But this week, Gilman was on trial for her criminal solicitation charges, and jurors began deliberating the case later in the day. But in an unbelievable turn of events, the district attorney's office announced that Gilman had tried to hire yet another hitman from the jail as recently as 3 weeks ago. She wanted to have the prosecution's key witness in her original case murdered, as well as an attorney.
It sort of becomes addicting after a while when you're hiring hitmen.
So first the ex-husband and girlfriend, then a witness in that case, and then another key witness in the prosecution's case. So she was charged Friday with two more counts of criminal solicitation, which is a first-degree felony. So she's going to jail for a long time.
Doubling down, man.
Yes. Doubling down, exactly. All right, and there you go. That is what I have for you in the Bizarre File this morning. We have our guests on the show. We gave away some tickets for this show that is coming up at the Academy of Music on April 4th, and it is such a unique pairing.
Love it.
And the story behind how these guys got together is really cool as well. So without further ado, we would like to welcome to our show this morning Mr. Bill Murray and Mr. Jan Vogler.
Yeah. Hi.
Gentlemen, thanks for joining us this morning. We appreciate it.
How many people wake up with an audience?
Not many. Hey, Bill, you know what? We're all getting ready to hop on a plane here right after the show. We're going down to Florida for spring training. The Phillies are playing So we're going to do our show from down there. But we, you know, we had said that you never know what can happen when you get on a flight. You obviously travel the country on a regular basis and around the world, I would imagine, and meet tons and tons of people. And this is how you and Jan encountered each other for the first time. And do you make it, do you speak to people that are seated next to you and make conversation and find out who they are regularly?
Well, if they're non-threatening.
Okay.
That's probably good.
Yeah.
Jan's a fella who grew up in East Berlin, so he knows how to remain docile in the presence of authority.
So, in the presence of authority.
I didn't feel any jeopardy at all speaking to him. I was a little bit concerned for him because he was carrying this funny-shaped box, and I didn't think he was going to be able to fit this thing on the... And I just said, are you going to be able to get that thing in the overhead? Mm. And he looked at me like I'd been dropped as a baby, and said, it has its own seat.
Yeah.
It not only does it have its own seat, it has the window seat in first class.
Right.
Flying across the ocean. So I had to sit next to across the aisle from Jan as opposed to the cello. I got to talk to him instead of the cello.
Now, Jan, I'm sure that you recognized Bill Murray, or did you not, and just think this was a benign gentleman looking to engage in conversation?
Be honest.
Okay. Well, Bill had a big aura, so I thought he was a celebrity, but I didn't, to be honest, I feel very ashamed. I didn't right away recognize Bill Murray. Of course, I had seen his films, but to put two things together when you are very tired in the morning, coming to an airport, and usually you are in your own bubble. And so it was a surprise. We were talking the whole flight. That's not usually what happens when we fly, and it was very charming and amusing and interesting.
And Jan, I had heard you did, fortunately, on the flight, they did have one of Bill's films that was part of the entertainment selection, and you were able to pull up Stripes and watch that as you were sitting next to him, correct?
Correct, that's correct. And that was actually a great, great fun, because it was like a break in our conversation. I watched the film, and I was laughing all the time, and Bill was looking at me like I was, you know, dropped at the time.
Well, that's a good sign. That's a good sign.
And Bill, when did you have an opportunity to sample some of Jan's music? I'm sure, you know, obviously it came up what he did for a living. He had a cello with him, and but you probably hadn't heard him perform. When did you first get an opportunity to do that?
Yes, I didn't know that he actually played the thing. I thought he very well could have been just sort of some sort of international musical instrument thief. I tried not to be photographed with him or stand too close next to him through the whole flight, but he convinced me that he actually had he did it for a living. So I don't know. Did you give me some music then? Did you have a record on you? I can't remember.
Yeah, I gave you.
He gave me a disc right off the bop, and so I was able to put it in the car on the way home and go, okay, all right, I guess so. All right. Mm-hmm. And the next thing that happened, I went to see one of his concerts in Dresden that took place at the Volkswagen factory. And it was a concerto or what? No,
yeah,
it was a symphony for orchestra and automotive factory parts. And so at certain points in the music, people would boing, hit a big, like, you know, spring or something like
wow.
that, or car fender with a hammer, and lots of funny noises. But it was pretty interesting to watch anyway, and he seemed sincere that he wanted to continue to do it for a living, even though he was working with a bunch of mechanics.
Right.
Well, the show is New Worlds, and I think this is, you know, just looking at the trailer, there's a trailer for the show and for the album. That is so intriguing. It's a melding of music, of the classical music, and Jan of you, and there's a number of musicians, a couple of musicians who enjoy you, including your wife, and there's sort of a synthesis of the two worlds, and it works, and it's just I'm curious as to it had to be intriguing and exciting because you're creating this thing from scratch, but it's also a potential liability because it could have gone wildly awry. Were you dealing with both of those issues as you were putting it together? Because you had ultimate creative freedom, but if you didn't hit it right, it could have been a debacle.
Well, you're right. It is we're very concerned about litigious patrons at the show. We have an extraordinary umbrella insurance policy for people who hate our program. It includes us going into the audience and picking people out by name and throwing them into the aisle. So fact that there are people that aren't going to like it. And as John says, he's more has more experience than I, that in the classical racket, usually there's one person that really is enjoying it, and the spouse or date is falling asleep waiting
right.
until the damn thing is over.
Right. Have either
we
of you?
Have, so we have the unusual situation of keeping both visitors awake and enjoying the show. It's very rare. It's we've had a great run so far. We've gone, you know, played these beautiful houses all over the country so far, you know, it's kind of thrilling to play Carnegie Hall and have people standing on their feet. You kind of think, is this really happening?
Have either of you ever performed at the Academy of Music before?
No, but I've seen pictures of it, and it's beautiful. I mean, my experience in Philly has been always on the upside, completely legitimate. No arrests, not even any injuries.
All legitimate.
That's great.
I mean, I went through a whole wedding weekend down there and completely successfully without any problems.
Yes, yeah, we're familiar. The thing that I love about this is that you're synthesizing, so you have music from Bach, Gershwin, Schubert, plus you have literary selections, Bill, which you're handling a lot of, as well as singing from Mark Twain and Walt Whitman. But there's one thing that stuck out to me when reading about the show. I'm a huge fan of Van Morrison, and Bill, you had one of those great music environmental moments that happens to you throughout life, where you were, I believe, driving through the California desert, and "When Will I Ever Learn to Live in God," the Van Morrison song, was playing. And those moments in life are so precious. They carry with you throughout your life, and now you're able to express that in this show.
Yes, it was almost a kind of a miraculous moment, driving at sunset, driving eastbound across the desert, which in most of my lifetime has always been just dirt, sand and dust and arid. In this particular year, they'd had an enormous amount of rain, and the desert was a florist shop. It was just fantastic.
Yeah.
And I came over the hill down into the Palms desert side. Many hundreds of people had gone out to watch the sunset, and they all had their goggles on, their glasses on. It looked like Close Encounters of the Third Kind. Everyone staring at the sun. And I just saw these beautiful faces staring, you know, to this music I was listening to. You know, pretty much staring up towards God in a way. And I called up Jan and said, you know, there's this song. Maybe we could try something that's not as classical, but it has some thing. And it turns out to be a high watermark of the show. It's the 840 number. And it's just sort of transformative. All of a sudden, something different occurs. Although we start early with the Bach and with Whitman, and when this comes later, it has the kind of soulful resonance that kind of picks the crowd up and shakes them around a little bit. It's beautiful, beautiful moment.
Very cool. It is a beautiful song. Jan, did you ever imagine that you would end up on the classical music charts with the former Nick the Lounge Singer?
Well, I always imagine to be inspired by other art forms and by colleagues who are not classical musicians. And so this project was, of course, was a coincidence, a wonderful coincidence, but also was something that I had dreamt to do. And so it's for me, it's very inspiring. And I think it's very important for the classical music also to look beyond. And I think we have had a lot of audiences who had never heard Bach or Schubert or Gershwin, but we had also had lots of classical audiences who were so enchanted and said, that is what we need in classical music.
Yeah.
So I think we really, as Bill said, we can satisfy a couple of very different interest people, which is fun.
Bill, a few years ago, there was an event at the Kimmel Center, which is right down the street from the Academy of Music, and it was with Kevin Bacon, and basically it was a retrospective on his career. He spoke about all the movies that he'd been in, and they showed clips, and then the audience members were allowed to ask questions, which was really cool. There was a moderator, but it was a way to talk to Kevin Bacon about his movies and get his take on it. Would you ever be interested in doing something like that with your own career and your own movies?
I guess I talk about my movies every once in a while. Whenever I have, you know, work up the courage, I let people ask questions about all kinds of things. I've sat down in New York on a couple of occasions with maybe like the New York Times or the New Yorker or something. I've done it before. I mean, are you asking me would I do it in Philly? I don't see why not. I'd love to hear Kevin Bacon talk. I had the occasion to work on a film called Wild Things with him, and he's fun. He's really fun, and he is absolutely unafraid. He's had a fantastic movie career. He's very always moving forward and searching, and he's great to work with. I like the guy. You know, I would have loved to have heard him speak. He's thoughtful about what he does. It's not about being famous. It's about being good.
Yeah. He's a hell of a talent. And you know what? And Jan, I wanted to ask you, because there are a lot of great virtuosos and stars in the classical world and the people that know and love that music, and they know the names. But a majority of the people who aren't aware of it aren't aware of all the names. However, they do know a few here and there. So with that, do you ever get tired of people asking you if you know Yo-Yo Ma?
He is actually a wonderful colleague and I would say even friend, because when we meet, and last time we met in Denver at the sushi restaurant, and it was really fun, and he was so happy about the show Bill and I Do. It's something actually he has kind of invented in the 80s. He started with
Bobby McFerrin.
James Taylor. He's crossed over a lot of times.
He's crossed over a lot of times very professionally, very substantially, and that's what I also like. I mean, there's a lot of crossover, which is complete failure, and that's what you said in the beginning is true. I mean, when you leave your field, your actual field, it's a risk, but risks are fun, and, I mean, they are the real thing, and I think Yo-Yo was somebody who always encouraged me to do these things, and when we met, he was always talking about this. So we are kind of, I guess, in the same similar interests. And
well, you were in the same sushi restaurant the same night in Denver, I think.
That alone.
Not only were they in the same sushi, we had a show the same night Yo-Yo Ma had a show right down the street,
right,
like 700 yards away.
I was like,
how come there's like 50 seats we didn't sell? He said, well, they went to see Yo-Yo Ma. Oh, okay, all right.
That bastard, he's always stealing the thunder. I have to ask you, Jan, the musicians that we know as part of the backup bill, that they're all accomplished, I believe it's your wife, Mira Wang, on violin, and Vanessa Perez is her name on piano, is that correct?
Yes, correct.
Right, and so it's got to be fun. And I was watching CBS this morning, footage of you guys playing, and you could just tell. And Bill, you're all just having a wonderful time, playing from Broadway to classical music and so on and so forth. And in a way, what I was watching reminded me of old time. It's kind of a reviews, old time like a radio review almost like a Lake Will Be Gone sort of thing, where you're getting the spoken word and you're getting the music. And when they synthesize together, as you guys obviously have brilliantly done, it's something that stands on its own. So in a way, I see it as being memories that people will carry the same way you had of Van Morrison in the desert, Bill. People may grab moments from this and carry that with them.
Well, it's I think so. The music is, we're playing some, the sort of the towering American songwriters, yeah, you know, Bernstein and Mancini and Gershwin. And so when you hear that music and you're sitting with someone and you feel that, you know, and the Gershwin, the original ain't necessarily so. It's an ancient riff. That's a riff out of the temple, out of the synagogue, ancient, you know.
Yeah.
And when you get that sort of you know, foundational sound in your body, and you get it in a real house like that, where the vibration of it, the acoustics of it, are designed to thrill your body, just excite your blood, and you're with someone, that is a moment, you know. That's like, you know, it's Woodstock, you know, it's whatever it is, it's being at the, you know, the Washington Monument, you know.
Yeah,
it's something that really shivers your timbers, and that's what's happening with the music. And the Goofy Band is playing this crazy classical collection that is, you know, also magnificent and towering. And it's an extraordinary experience. It's an eye-opening experience that you can have something that just sort of moves like an ocean over you. It just sort of keeps coming. The waves keep coming, and some of them are small and some of them are big. But they're all sensations that are shocks, you know.
Hey, Bill and Jan, I want to apologize for, you know, asking this question because I know that we're talking about the project and the concert coming up, but I just don't know if I will ever have the opportunity to talk to Bill Murray again. So I just want to take this moment to say I went to Lake Winnipesaukee on vacation because of What About Bob? And every morning I woke up, I would on social media, I would put out a scene from What About Bob? And then on my last day of vacation, I found out that What About Bob was filmed in Virginia, which did not ruin the vacation at all. I just
wanted. I don't want to break the news about Groundhog Day to you.
I'm glad you.
Now we know.
Yes, I'm glad you brought that up because I just want to thank you for both of those movies. What About Bob and Groundhog Day are just amazing, amazing movies. And Groundhog Day, I actually studied in a class in college. We studied that movie because it's all about seizing the day. And I know that those movies would have been made with or without you, but those movies would not have been the same if Bill Murray was not in that movie. And so thank you for those movies so much.
Well, you're very welcome. They would have been made without me. I'm very fortunate to have been invited to be in those movies. They were both extraordinary premises. It was an amazing thing to wake up in the morning and say, what do I have to do today? Oh, today I've got to go drive someone nuts. who wouldn't want that job?
No, it's a plum gig.
Yeah. That job. And today I've got to live yesterday all over again. They were extraordinary writing premises. The one was Alvin Sargent's What About Bob, which is how about a patient follows a psychiatrist on vacation? Oh, that's all you had to say.
Yeah.
That's all you have to do. You don't even have to have a script. You change every line of it as you go. It's just so easy, you know. And the other one, Danny Rubin's idea for Groundhog Day, is studied in colleges and should be studied in colleges. It's a and in churches. It's a, and in temples. It's an extraordinary modern way of looking at the challenge of life. And I was really happy to be a part of both of those and to be called to the demand to be as good as I could be. Because those were extraordinarily demanding premises.
I contend that the Groundhog Day is the film Frank Capra never made. It's in that vein. It's one of those pivotal movies that you know, if you sit there and you absorb it and you're going to laugh, you're going to have a great time. But you're also you'll have an epiphany of sorts about perhaps the way you're living your life and seizing the day. So a wonderful film.
Yeah, I was watching Mr. Smith the other day, and someone was in my house and said, "What?" And said, "What's this?" I said, "This, this is Mr. Smith. Sit down." You
know? Yes,
I watched the last 10 minutes of Mr. Smith, and you get it all just watching the last 10 minutes. You see all the people that this man's struggle touches, just like Groundhog Day. All the things that explode at the end. All the connections that are made in life. We're all leaning on each other. We're all connected. And all the connections in Mr. Smith are all demonstrated and climaxed in those final 10 minutes. And that's a nice thing to say about Frank Capra. I'll tell that one to Danny Rupin. He'll get a kick out of that.
Very nice.
Some great lessons.
Harold, that one, but I'll tell Danny.
Great lessons and great entertainment. And there's going to be great entertainment on stage. April 4th is when Bill Murray and Jan Vogler are performing with friends. The album is called New Worlds. The show is called New Worlds. You can get tickets at KimmelCenter.org. I'm going to extend this invitation. I doubt you guys can take advantage of it, but we would consider it an amazing honor if you did get in early enough to Philadelphia to stop by in the morning. We would open up our microphones to the city and beyond for you guys to perform live. So consider that, if you will. The invitation is there, and would love to set that up. But if you can't, totally understand it. We just want to thank you.
We're not as organized as we look.
But we just want to
come and see the show. That's a game.
No, we're definitely going to see it. I'm absolutely very excited.
Yeah, but
done your show. We're on your show. we're awake for this too. We're wide awake.
Hey, listen, if you come by early, I know the weather's not ideal, but I'm sure I can get us on Pine Valley if you want, Bill or Marion. You say the word, man.
Well, that would be nice. I might just maybe if we get a hotel room, we could just work on the short game in the suite.
Just work in the hotel.
That's what I do.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you guys so much. It's wonderful to talk to you. We hope you enjoy your time in Philadelphia. Continued success with New Worlds. It's Bill Murray and Jan Vogler. Thank you guys.
Yeah.
Fantastic. All right. We do have to take a break. We spent a really wonderful amount of time with them, more than I thought, because they were so inviting and easy to talk to. But we're supposed to be leaving in 7 minutes. I don't know if that's going to happen. We got to catch a plane. We'll take a break, and we'll be right back, and let's see what happens. Stay with us.
Now, more with Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
All righty, friends. It is just about 10 a.m., so we got to move things along quickly. We were supposed to be gone in like 15 seconds, but we're going to stretch it out a little bit longer because we have a couple of things we need to take care of, including today's lesson question. Today we are going to give tickets to see Buck Cherry to our winner. And Nick, I don't have the questions over here.
That's because I didn't print them.
All right. Do you have one that we could ask?
I do indeed, yes. Yeah. So right, what are the two items that Steve was served on his last in-flight meal?
Oh, wow.
Steve received two items. Name them, and you win the prize.
All right. 215-263-WMMR. Steve received two things on his two items to eat on his in-flight meal last time. What were they? Call now. We'll do the trash while we're waiting for your call to come through.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
Brought to you by Robbins Diamonds and Tax-Free Delaware, with thousands of rings and self-serve cases. Absolutely no sales tax versus the 8% tax in Philly. Robbins Delaware Diamonds. What's going on, Steve?
Well, word coming out that the reason Tori Spelling has long been shut out of her late father Aaron's money is because her mother, Candy, can't stand Tori's husband, Dean McDermott. McDermott reportedly pissed off his mother-in-law on their first meeting when he told her that she was the kind of candy that's filled with whore.
Oh, my God.
Kendall Jenner achieving every model's dream, appearing on the cover of Vogue magazine in a sultry pose with a parrot on her shoulder. These things are totally disgusting, crapping and puking everywhere, said the parrot.
Oh, my God.
According to the magazine, new idea, the Duchess of Cornwall, Camilla Parker Bowles, is writing a tell-all book that goes behind the scenes of the royal family. Bowles says she first caught the eye of her now husband, Prince Charles, as she was pulling a carriage for the queen.
That's your Hollywood trash. All right, we shall see if we can find an answer to the question. Steve's last flight, the in-flight...
I'm breaking things!
The in-flight meal. What are the two things that they served him? Hey, I'm just going to a random caller here.
Do it.
I have no
idea
who this is. Hi, you're on the air. Who am I speaking to?
My name's Matt.
All right, Matt, do you know what the two things that Steve ordered for the in-flight meal were?
Steve ordered a box of sand and some mustard.
That's right. That is correct, yes.
And it was delish.
Hang on just a second, Bob. We're going to get your info, and we are going to take care of you with tickets to see Buck Cherry at the Block at Harrah's Philadelphia Saturday, April 14th. Tickets are on sale now at harrahsphilly.com.
More and more and more. Na, 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 na.
Preston and Steve's Music View on 93.3 WMMR.
Yeah! Yeah! It's brought to you by Delilah's, and Delilah's presents 2018 Entertainer of the Year. On Wednesday, March 21st, a special guest host, Brett Rossi. And you can visit Delilahs.com for details.
Sorry, we have to move on.
I know. Pearl Jam dedicated the first ever concert performance of its new song, Can't Deny Me, for the survivors of Parkland, Florida, and the school shooting, and the students who participated in yesterday's National School Walkout. Performing at the Movie Star Arena in Santiago, Chile, Eddie Vedder told the crowd in Spanish, "This is dedicated to the incredible students in Florida and the United States who survived a terrible tragedy. We will all be protesting tomorrow throughout the United States." Vedder also paid tribute to one of the most vocal students to emerge from the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School tragedy, saying, "We support you all, and Emma Gonzalez, we love you. We'd like to play this for them and us." And then they played the new song, which is pretty cool. The show kicked off in Chile with a string of South American gigs for Pearl Jam, and was their first concert since August 2016, not including a brief performance at their induction to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. It was also the band's first show since the death of Chris Cornell, their close friend who took his own life last May. Vedder acknowledged the late singer by saying, "This one's for Chris," before the band broke in to come back from its self-titled 2006 album. All right, let me just do one more story and then we will wrap things up.
All right, we have to move on.
Yeah, we got to move along. Rob Zombie has started production on his next movie and confirmed on social media that the project, titled Three from Hell, is a sequel to his 2005 horror hit, The Devil's Rejects. The film, which started shooting on Tuesday, is said to continue the story of the Firefly clan. Sid Haig as Captain Spaulding, Bill Moseley as Otis, and Sherry Moon Zombie as Baby, whom we saw go down in a torrent of bullets at the end of the first film.
But this time they go on their first ski vacation.
It's not clear whether Zombie plans to resurrect the Firefly trio from the dead in some kind of supernatural fashion in the film, or has found a way to explain that they survived the original movie's climactic shootout. And that is the very short music news that we are going to have for today.
We've all got places to go! We've all got places to go!
It is true. All right, so what we need to do is get the letter of the day for the case. I need the letter of the day hooked
no,
up,
you
please.
Don't.
No, no, I need the actual...
You need me to move it up.
I need the production part ready to go.
Well, I
got to
move all this stuff. How about that?
Yeah, we're going to have to do all that now because we are wrapping it up, right?
We are.
Okay.
We all got places to go. Places.
Yeah, so let's... get that in place, and here we go.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
And the Preston and Steve Show is brought to you today by the letter...
A.
He said he had it.
A, as in apple.
A, as in apple. All right, we have one more letter to go. We'll get that tomorrow. Don't forget, we're giving away a trip for two to the premiere of WB's Ready Player One, Monday, March 26th. Dolby Theater in Los Angeles. Ready Player One opens on March 30th in theaters everywhere. And I want to do one last giveaway before we're done. Our friends from Maggie's Waterfront Cafe.
So good.
Oh, the food is fantastic.
Unbelievable.
I want to thank those guys. And don't forget, you can join them for a big celebration, their 10-year anniversary, anytime. For more information on events and specials, visit maggieswaterfront.com. And don't forget, they have a big St. Patrick's Day party that's going on. And it's going to open at 11 a.m. Irish music, dancers, food, and a chance to win a trip to Ireland. And our buddy Brett Porsche is broadcasting live from 3 to 7. So that is this Saturday, St. Patrick's Day. Don't miss Maggie's Waterfront Cafe right there on the Delaware River.
Just lock and load for the whole day.
Maggie'sWaterfront.com. Pierre, what do you have coming up on the show today, man?
We'll have workforce blocks of 311, Van Halen, and the Cars. We have an MM Archive session to play for you from the Hooters, I believe at the Tower Theater. More U2 tickets when you hear Bono. I felt like MMR saved our lives, and plus a vinyl cut. So,
nice.
What time is your flight, by the way?
We got to get out of here. It's
what time is your flight,
though? Yeah, according to Pierre, we got plenty of time.
I'm going to give away three $50 Maggie's Waterfront gift cards right now to the first three callers at 215-263-WMMR. We're going to set you up, and thank you to Bill Murray and Jan Vogler,
yes,
who were on the show this morning. They were absolutely awesome. And they're going to be playing at the Academy of Music on April 4th. Tickets and information at KimmelCenter.org. That is it. We are done. Rage on. Have a great day. And we'll see you tomorrow. Okay, bye. You're on.
You have plenty of time.
All right, see you later.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You line.
Hi, this is a message for the girl who called the Love You, Hate You line yesterday, wanting to bitch out whoever created Daylight Savings Time. It was Ben Franklin, sweetie. He's the guy you want.
Next message.
Casey Boy, Presbo, Steve-O, Kathy Romano, Nick McElwain, Marissa Magnata, keep up the laughter.
Next message.
Oh, my God, I can't wait until this flower show is over. These people do not know how to drive. Just get over to the side and go park and look at the flowers. Get the out of my way.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.